people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Mark, you know what I've been craving lately? Chinese food.
Abby, I have the perfect solution. Sailing Boat Restaurant has partnered with Haven Humane Society for Second Tuesday Dining.
That's great. So I can get my Chinese food fix and help out animals in need at the same time? Sailing Boat Restaurant always satisfies my cravings with their amazing food.
Please join us Tuesday, June 11th at Sailing Boat Restaurant from 5 to 9 p.m. They have graciously agreed to donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work towards placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you today. We are going to talk about the 2020 Democrats swinging further and further to the left. Plus, we're going to get to the mailbag, but we begin today with James Comey out front and center saying President Trump should be prosecuted. James Comey appeared on CNN. And appearing on CNN, he was asked basically to rip everyone inside the Trump administration, to talk about how evil the Trump administration was, to talk about how President Trump obstructed justice. Now, James Comey has a dog in this fight. Okay, James Comey, his firing led off the entire obstruction of justice debacle. It was James Comey's firing, which, by the way, was perfectly appropriate. He should have been fired as soon as President Trump took office. Frankly, Obama should have fired him after he did that press conference about Hillary Clinton back in July of 2016. But James Comey was fired for cause. He was bad at his job. He was politically motivated. His politics were all about preserving his picture of the FBI as an institution. But Trump fired him. And then Trump basically said that he fired him because Comey wouldn't say publicly that Trump wasn't under investigation, which was true. Trump was not under investigation. Comey wouldn't say it. He explained to Trump why he wouldn't say it. Trump got frustrated. Trump fired him. Then Trump went on national TV and said, well, I guess this Russia stuff is done because now we can openly say I'm not under investigation. That's what Trump meant. James Comey and the rest of the media took that to mean Trump fired Comey in order to stymie the investigation. Now, as we know, the investigation was not stymied. We keep hearing there's been a cover-up. There's been obstruction. We keep hearing that President Trump is involving himself in the nitty-gritty details of the Mueller report of the investigation in an attempt to prevent public knowledge of the nefarious activities in which he participated. I've seen not a lot of evidence of that. The fact is, we are all privy to the Mueller report. The fact is, Robert Mueller, James Comey was fired in the middle of 2017. It is now the middle of 2019. It is 2 years later. That is when we got the Mueller report. So for 2 full years, Robert Mueller had access to pretty much everyone inside the Trump administration, to millions of documents, to grand jury testimony. So the idea that James Comey's firing represented some sort of obstruction of justice is simply absurd. But Comey is very invested in that narrative, because otherwise he got fired for being crappy at his job, and that James Comey can't accept. So he's been going around for the last couple of years taking aspirational pictures of himself in great places of nature, looking up at the forest, looking down at the ocean, and then pondering life. Well, now he's back on CNN. He's being brought back forth by the media to explain exactly why it is that President Trump is a very, very bad, cruel, bad orange man. So here is Comey explaining that Trump obstructed justice, according to James Comey. I'll explain how absurd this is in just a second.
There are now, I think it's up to 800 former federal prosecutors who have worked in both Republican and Democratic administrations who have signed a statement saying that Mueller's findings would have produced obstruction charges against President Trump if he weren't president. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
No doubt.
No doubt. Again, there's 10 different episodes. I actually think the ones that would be most likely charged are not necessarily the ones that involved me, but particularly this McGahn episode and another episode where he was trying to get the attorney general to limit the investigation only to future elections are examples that any reasonable prosecutor would charge.
Okay, so that is really an amazing statement by James Comey. Now, the reason it's an amazing statement is because the reason that Trump could not be charged with obstruction of justice is because obstruction of justice is, in fact, a crime that requires intent. It's a crime that requires you to intend to obstruct justice. You want to stop the investigation because you think it's going to uncover something. In the absence of an underlying crime, it's very difficult to obstruct justice. Because what exactly would your intent be? Just because you're annoyed? Like, that doesn't really meet the intent portion, which is why when William Barr explained why he had not decided to indict Trump on obstruction of justice, he pointed to two factors. One, Trump's mental state, and two, the fact that there was no underlying collusion for Trump to cover up. And that was William Barr's take, and that is a correct take. James Comey is saying that take is entirely wrong. Trump had the requisite intent. Okay, question. It was James Comey, I remember, who said about Hillary Clinton that Hillary Clinton was not guilty of violating rules about classified material because she did not have the requisite intent. You know where intent is not an element of the crime? When it comes to the mishandling of classified material. You do not have to intend to expose classified material to prying eyes. You do not have to intend to do anything wrong. It is a strict liability crime. If you take classified materials and you put them in public view, you are guilty of the crime. James Comey personally wrote intent into a law that had no intent, and now he's writing intent out of a law to castigate President Trump, which does demonstrate a fair bit of political bias on the part of a guy who proclaims that he is a wonderful law enforcement officer without any bias. James Comey went on to explain that the DOJ should actually charge President Trump when he is no longer president.
You think he should be charged when he's out of office?
I think
based on what Mueller has shown.
Well, I think the Justice Department will have to take a serious look at that. Whether it's a wise thing to do to a former president, I don't know. That's a harder question, a much bigger question than the facts of the case.
But do you think the evidence is there to prosecute?
Sure looks like it's there with respect to at least a couple of those episodes of obstruction.
Okay, so, you know, the idea that he is going to now push forward that Trump should be prosecuted when he's no longer president. Well, again, you know who could have made that call? You know who could have said that? Robert Mueller could have said that. Right? Robert Mueller had every capacity to say, listen, according to the DOJ rules, according to the Office of Legal Counsel, it is unlikely that you can prosecute the president on these charges. However, I would recommend an obstruction charge against the president were it not for these OLC rules, meaning that he should be prosecuted when he's no longer president. Robert Mueller could have said that. He had every ability to say that. He did not say that. Why? Not because he didn't want to. I mean, it's pretty clear that his team wanted to get Trump. It's pretty obvious his team thought that Trump did immoral, bad stuff. That's the entire volume two of the report. But the fact that Mueller didn't do it is somewhat telling. Here's what's really going on. James Comey is mad because he got fired. And he effectively admits as much to Anderson Cooper.
You were at an FBI bureau, I think in Los Angeles, and you actually saw it on CNN that you had been fired. I'm wondering, 2 years later, with all that's happened, how do you look back on that moment?
I was numb because I didn't expect to be fired. I was actually in a room about this size talking to custodial staff employees about the importance of the FBI's mission. I looked over their heads and saw, first it said Comey resigns, which I thought was probably a prank, and then it said Comey fired. And I know this may sound strange, but I didn't expect to be fired. Never entered my mind. I knew by that point the president didn't like me, but I thought that's okay because that'll keep a separation. So it still feels a little bit numbing, frankly.
It's numbing. It's hurting. There's a lot of emotion in James Comey for a guy who pretends that he is just motivated, that he is just motivated specifically by all of this, that he's motivated specifically by a desire to enforce the law. Now, hilariously, Comey was asked about the FBI under his auspices. Two of his top agents were Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. They're having an affair with one another. Strzok was personally heading up both the Hillary investigation as well as the Trump investigation. And Comey admits, yeah, they may have made us look bad, you know, with the whole texting each other and talking about how much they hated Trump, and then Peter Strzok manipulating the investigation, the timing of the investigation. That's not according to me. That's not according to Trump. That's according to the Inspector General of the DOJ, Michael Horowitz, who found that, ironically, that Strzok had actually put the Hillary investigation on the back burner in favor of the Trump investigation. And the irony comes in that because he put the Hillary investigation on the back burner, the investigation only started to look at Huma Abedin's computer, like a week before the election. And if he had not done that, then they probably uncover that a month earlier, and they take care of it a month earlier, and Hillary has a better shot at winning the election. Here is Comey admitting, yeah, you know, I was running the FBI, but my top agents, they made us look real bad.
Do you acknowledge that this whole episode with Strzok and Page, that it damaged the reputation of the FBI and perhaps tarnished the investigation?
Definitely. Yeah, very painful. It was important that it be investigated and important that there be discipline that follows it. But, yeah, it made us all look bad. Peter Strzok is a very talented agent. It's a personal tragedy for him. But as much as I care about individuals, I care about the institution more, it hurt the institution.
Okay, so you know what else hurt the institution? You overseeing all of that. You overseeing all of that hurt the institution. So the fact that James Comey is still being trotted out as some sort of authority on this stuff does demonstrate that the media are pretty biased on this sort of thing. I mean, they could be asking James Comey all the same questions that I'm asking. What is your evidence that Donald Trump had requisite intent? We know that he fired you, not because he wanted to obstruct the investigation. The investigation was not obstructed. So what exactly are you talking about? Don't you have a personal stake in making this case? But they're going to keep trying. It's amazing how all you have to do to become a hero of the resistance is stop Hillary Clinton from becoming president and then yell at President Trump. Amazing. If it were not for James Comey, much better shot Hillary Clinton is sitting in the White House right now. If it were not for James Comey, then it's quite possible that the entire Trump-Russia collusion investigation would have gone down the drain much earlier. So the whole thing is pretty amazing. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to the actual big story of the day, which is not any of the fake obstruction stuff. It's not any of the ridiculous Senate investigations or House investigations. The big story of the day is that we may be in a full-on trade war with China, which is dangerous stuff. I'll get to that in a second. First, there's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for everyone else? Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preference to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split that mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. My wife and I have a Helix Sleep mattress. It is incredibly comfortable. So comfortable, we got rid of a more expensive mattress and used the Helix Sleep mattress instead. We took that 2-minute sleep quiz. The mattress came personalized for us, ready to go. It is that good. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Well, the actual big story of the day is the possibility of a trade war with China. China said on Friday it's going to retaliate because the United States did move to increase tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars worth of Chinese products on Friday, effectively breaking a months-long truce, seriously complicating ongoing talks, according to the Global Times, which is a Chinese publication. The Chinese side deeply regrets the U.S. actions and will have to take countermeasures, the Chinese Ministry of Commerce said in a statement after the United States started to raise tariffs on Chinese goods. Following through on earlier threats by U.S. officials, the U.S. raised a 10% tariff on $200 billion worth of Chinese products, including electronics, clothes, and toys, to 25%, starting at 12:01 p.m. Friday, Beijing time. The higher tariffs will apply to U.S.-bound products that left China after 12:01 a.m. on Friday U.S. time, according to Reuters, citing the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Such a grace period was not offered in the previous three rounds of tariffs. Apparently, the government of China's statement did not specify what countermeasures China would take and when it would implement those countermeasures, but analysts said there were several measures China could take that would inflict pain on the United States economy and that the measures would be announced shortly. He Wenwen is a former senior Chinese trade official. He told the Global Times, "I think China will respond very soon. China will also have to make good on its own words. Otherwise, it will be at a huge disadvantage to the U.S. team at the negotiations." Now, one of the things that has been happening is that President Trump has been sending some mixed signals on all of this. Now, what you want when it comes to foreign policy, particularly, is a very consistent policy. In just a second, I'm going to explain. But first, it's spring, the time of year when seeds grow into flowers and you grow up, financially at least. Your family needs protection if something happens to you. That means you need life insurance. Thankfully, Policy Genius makes it easy to get that financial security without the growing pains. Policy Genius is the easy way to buy life insurance online. In just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers and find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. No commissions, no hidden fees, just financial protection and peace of mind, no strings attached. Policy Genius doesn't just simplify life insurance, they also make it easy to compare and buy home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance. So, the next time you stop to smell the roses, pull out your phone, head over to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com. Policy Genius, spring is here. Kick it off by nipping life insurance in the bud. Policygenius.com. Be a responsible adult. Make sure that your family is taken care of in case, God forbid, something should happen to you. Plus, you can get all your insurance through Policy Genius. Home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance. You can do it quickly, and you can make sure that you're getting the best price. Go check out policygenius.com. Again, that's policygenius.com. You can do it on your phone or your computer. Policygenius.com. Coming up, we'll talk about how President Trump can remain consistent with his tariff policies, because he seems to be a little bit inconsistent. Does he like tariffs or does he not like tariffs? Or is this all just a bargaining gambit? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
This is Michael Savage of the Savage Nation podcast. There's nothing like it in the podcast universe. You see, ignoring Islamic terrorism is not only deadly, it is racist and suicidal. They refuse to acknowledge the crimes of some. They think that will protect innocent Muslims. People also don't like being lied to. The Savage Nation podcast. Listen and download for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your audio. From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So President Trump has sent off a lot of mixed signals about tariffs. So the consistent policy here should be and would be, look, we don't want any tariffs, no tariffs at all. The only reason that we have tariffs right now is because China is cheating on trade. And by cheating on trade, we don't mean that they're subsidizing particular core industries. That's not cheating on trade. They get to do that. It's their policy. It's dumb. Government top-down policy that subsidizes certain industries at the expense of other industries typically does not end well, even for those industries, because once those companies are taken off the subsidies, they fail to be competitive. And the free market is great at creating durable companies that are capable of competing in a global market without subsidies. Once you start subsidizing things, people become dependent on the subsidies. This is what happened to the American car companies in the 1950s and 60s. America's car companies used to run the world. Then we started subsidizing them. We had lots of tariffs against foreign imports, and America became much less competitive vis-a-vis the rest of the world. So if other countries choose to subsidize those industries, that's not really an excuse for us to tariff them. What is an excuse for us to tariff them is them cheating on intellectual property, for example, the government participating in stealing American intellectual property. Now, we've taken these cases to the World Trade Organization. China has not been a good actor in the World Trade Organization with regard to paying up when they've been found guilty. Those procedures take a lot of time. So if you really want to inflict pain on China to get them to stop stealing intellectual property, then that is at least understandable. The problem for President Trump is that he sends mixed signals. One signal is, we don't want any tariffs, but if we have to punish you, we will. And the other signal, that's sort of the Larry Kudlow signal, the other signal is tariffs are great. So President Trump today, for example, is tweeting out about how tariffs are a wonderful thing. So President Trump is tweeting out right now that if you produce in America, there will be no tariffs. Right? He says, great consumer price index just out, really good, very low inflation. We have a great chance to really rock. Good numbers all around. Your favorite president, your all-time favorite president. So Trumpy. Your all-time favorite president got tired of waiting for China to help out and start buying from our farmers, the greatest anywhere in the world. Build your products in the United States and there are no tariffs. He says, if we bought $15 billion of agriculture from our farmers, far more than China buys now, we would have more than $85 billion left over for new infrastructure, healthcare, or anything else. China would greatly slow down and we would automatically speed up. Tariffs will make our country much stronger, not weaker. Just sit back and watch. In the meantime, China should not renegotiate deals with the United States at the last minute. This is not the Obama administration or the administration of Sleepy Joe, who let China get away with quote-unquote murder. So, again, this is the mixed signal. We want free trade, but we don't want free trade. Tariffs are actually good. Tariffs are actually wonderful. And this is the push that Trump himself is making. And that is sending mixed signals to the market, because the market is saying, okay, well, if he is happy with the tariffs, if he likes the tariffs, if all of this was an excuse to get to the tariffs, then maybe he just wants to leave those in place. And if he just wants to leave those in place, that could cost all of us a lot of money, because tariffs actually, as just a policy, not as a tool of leverage, but as a policy, are pretty bad. And this is what the UK Sun reports today. Donald Trump wiped nearly $1.5 trillion off global markets with a single Twitter blast, vowing to double tariffs on Chinese goods after they broke a crucial trade deal that was 2 days ago. The U.S. president renewed hostilities between the two economic giants by threatening to once more ramp up the cost of Beijing trading in the United States. He pledged to hike tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods from Friday, rocking equity markets across the world. And that's because equity markets have typically thought that Trump was a lot of bluster. But once these things kick in, the feeling is that Trump wants to leave them in place, not because they're good policy, but specifically because he actually likes tariffs. And now he is causing all sorts of confusion again on Twitter. According to Bloomberg, President Trump, the morning after levying fresh tariffs on China, caused confusion among traders by tweeting that there is no need to rush on China trade, meaning, okay, maybe we'll just leave these tariffs in place for a while. And the markets went, oh boy, that's not good. Now, one of the things that people have been ignoring about the fact that the markets have been quite hot to this point is that there has been a bit of anticipation of this in the markets. The markets were anticipating at the end of last year that tariffs were going to kick in, and so they accelerated a lot of their buying from foreign manufacturers, and that led to an increase in the amount of spending, the amount of dollars flowing through the United States economy. It caused a lot of imports to be bought, for example. That's why the trade deficit has actually been getting worse under President Trump. An earlier tweet was deleted and then reposted with minor changes. He tweeted out this morning, "Talks with China continue in a very congenial manner. There's absolutely no need to rush, as tariffs are now being paid to the United States by China of 25% on $250 billion worth of goods and products. These massive payments go directly to the Treasury of the United States." That really is not how tariffs work. I mean, tariffs only work if you buy a product. It's a tax on a product. Right? Consumers feel the brunt of that. It's not as though China just pays the tax and then sends its product into our market at its previous price. That's not how any of this works. Tariffs, he said again, would make the United States much stronger, not weaker. Just sit back and watch. China, of course, has said that it wants to retaliate. So there's a battle inside the Trump administration right now between the Larry Kudlows and between President Trump and Peter Navarro, who's one of his trade advisors on China, who really is not particularly good at his job. All of this is creating disquiet in the markets. Again, I think that if President Trump were using trade barriers as leverage to push China to start adhering to intellectual property law, that would at least be excusable. I think there are other measures that can be used, but that at least is an excuse. For him to be proclaiming that tariffs are inherently good is just not true. The Smoot-Hawley tariffs at the beginning of the Great Depression helped exacerbate the Great Depression by leading other countries to raise their tariffs as well. And all of that led to less of an export market for American goods and higher prices for American workers. That's what tariffs effectively do. It doesn't create more jobs. It doesn't create more prosperity. It creates more conflict. It creates higher prices. It creates less of an export market for competitive American goods. So here's the bottom line. President Trump should be setting a consistent policy on tariffs. Does he like the tariffs or does he not like the tariffs? I don't think he has to say that he likes the tariffs in order to push the Chinese. I think that they can be pushed without him embracing full tariff policy. Coming up, however, we'll talk about what China's interest in all...
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. North State Now is brought to you by Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now every Thursday night at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
Your comfort and privacy is important, and products installed by Blindsided will improve the quality of life in your home. Enjoy the convenience of remote control power shades, blinds, or the elegant look of plantation shutters with expert installation. Comfort, privacy, and elegance in your home with expert craftsmanship from Blindsided. Call Bill today for an estimate at 945-3969. That's 945-3969.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Chinese are being pushed by President Trump, and now the question becomes, are they going to fold and do the right thing, or are they going to double down, and are we going to trade war? The New York Times reports that now President Xi is facing a dilemma. Should he fold or should he double down? And this is where the good side of President Trump's push could be, right? If you're using tariffs as a leverage point and not as an actual policy, there's a case for that. Here's what the New York Times says. As Chinese and American officials try to reach a trade deal, President Xi Jinping faces a painful, possibly damaging choice to try to protect his aura of indomitability or retreat after President Trump accused China of reneging on the terms of a draft agreement and threatened to raise tariffs. The stakes rose sharply for the Chinese leader this week after Mr. Trump and his chief trade representative, Robert Lighthizer, publicly accused China of backing down on commitments. The sticking point appeared to be a late decision by Mr. Xi to reject American demands that China change laws constraining American businesses. When Trump leapt onto Twitter to complain, it was a public rebuke that put Xi in a tight spot. Xi is China's most powerful leader in decades. He guards his image as a visionary statesman guiding his country to greatness. China's relationship with the United States is its most important relationship. If ties between the countries are mismanaged, that could damage China's economy and tarnish Xi's image. Trade talks that just last week seemed close to fruition have abruptly become a flashpoint in the rocky relationship. Xi now faces questions at home over whether he miscalculated Trump's resolve. Domestic rumblings could grow if the United States forces Xi to make concessions or if the talks break down. According to Paul Henley, a former China director on the National Security Council, who now runs the Carnegie Xinhua Center for Global Policy in Beijing, quote, Xi is walking a tightrope. He is going to be the one that has to make the most concessions, and that makes this all the more difficult for him. On Thursday, shortly before the trade talks were set to resume, of course, North Korea shot off short-range missiles. The United States had been pushing China to get involved. Even if the timing of the launch is a coincidence, perhaps that puts pressure on the United States to point out that China needs to be a partner. Liu He is China's chief negotiator. He said, quote, I come bearing sincerity and hope in the current special circumstances told a reasoned, frank exchange of views with the U.S. side. China believes that increasing tariffs won't solve problems, won't benefit China or the United States, nor will it benefit the global economy. China had been willing to protect intellectual property and open its markets to American business, but the Trump administration wanted the agreement to specify that some of those changes actually be made in Chinese law. Apparently, China didn't want to do that. They wanted to make an informal policy, and Trump was saying, no, you need to change your law so that formally you cannot renege on this agreement. Wang Yang is a director of the Center for International Political Economy at Peking University. He said, that would bring back painful memories of the days of national humiliation in our history. Trump, of course, doesn't care too much about that. Trump is trying to push for a public concession. I guess the idea here is that Trump, if he pushed for a private concession, maybe they would do it. Who the hell knows whether that is true? According to Professor Tu, everyone may have greater doubts and uncertainty about the future of the Chinese economy, Chinese-U.S. relations, or the global economy. This uncertainty will certainly affect production, investment, and consumption. Chinese officials are still struggling to understand the president, according to the New York Times. Senator Chris Coons, a Democrat from Delaware, said, quote, there are a lot of voices in Washington that are either sharply or harshly critical of China's action in trade, in their military expansionism, in their actions in the South China Sea, fill in the blank. So as I say, Trump being strong with China is fine. Trump embracing tariffs is not so fine. The question is which one of these things is correct. What's actually happening here? Now, maybe this works out to the tune of China takes Trump's warm embrace of tariffs as more of a credible threat than they would otherwise. That Trump's team and Trump himself think that if he just says tariffs are wonderful, then China will back down because they don't want the tariffs and the tariffs hurt China worse than they hurt us. With that said, as a general point of policy, I don't think that that is correct, obviously. And also, I don't actually think you need to say that. I think that you can simply say to them, listen, we are reluctantly imposing these tariffs because you won't do X. But, you know, maybe this is President Trump selling past the sale, as Scott Adams likes to say. That is a possibility as well. We'll obviously be watching this closely. It's a high-risk move for President Trump, politically speaking. The reason that it is a high-risk move for President Trump is because if the tariffs continue, it will undoubtedly damage the United States economy. There's already been talk about how much more robust the recovery would be, how much more robust the United States economy would be right now if we were not engaged in sporadic trade wars with various folks. It does raise the question overall, by the way, as to whether, for example, the United States ever should have worked on opening China in the first place. The case for opening China is that it would make China more liberal, more democratic. That, of course, has not happened. Of course, it's more prosperous for both us and China to have an open trade relationship. That is true regardless of who exactly is in charge. With that said, would it have been better in the 1970s if we didn't open China when they were on a serious trajectory toward collapse? I don't know. I mean, certainly possible that that is the case. U.S. officials say that they have more than promises to stop China from stealing intellectual property rights. This time, Robert Lighthizer, who's the head of the U.S. Trade Association, has pushed an enforcement system that gives the U.S. the right to impose tariffs if it decides that China is not living up to the deal. China barred from responding in kind. So China wouldn't be able to respond against us. Cleet Williams, a former senior White House trade official, who's at Akin Gump, a major law firm, he said, "We've had these conversations with China for years. If you don't have specific commitments backed up with enforcement, you don't have anything." So again, if this is President Trump being tough with leverage, for it. If this is President Trump embracing tariffs the way he, on a gut level, seems to do, not really in favor of it. Meanwhile, chaos still breaking out on the North Korean peninsula, Over the course of the last 2 days, the United States seized a North Korean freighter that was caught shipping coal in violation of UN sanctions, rather. The Justice Department revealed on Thursday the 17,000-ton cargo ship called the Wise Honest was stopped in Indonesia last year after it was found to be carrying coal. The ship's captain charged with violating Indonesian law. Last July, the United States filed an action to seize the ship, and finally they went ahead and did that. North Korea, of course, has also fired a couple of rockets this week in a major move toward reigniting a lot of the conflict between North Korea and the United States. Presumably, that is because the Trump administration has been moving away from concessions to the North Koreans, as they should. So there are a couple ways to read this. Overall, the way to read this could be that President Trump is getting very tough on foreign policy, and that's great. The other way to read this is that this is a bit chaotic, that we don't actually know what his foreign policy is, and that foreign actors are taking advantage of that or acting from confusion. You know, I hope that it is the first. I think that it feels like more of the first, but it certainly could be the second. Okay, in just a second, we are going to get to the latest on the Democrats declaring that the Russia probe is not over. We're also going to get to the 2020 race, and we got to do mailbag today, so we got a lot coming up. First, would you pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought tooth and nail for government-run healthcare? You know, an organization that stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? No? Well, then don't join the AARP. Stand with nearly 2 million others by joining AMAC, the conservative alternative, instead. Wouldn't you rather belong to an organization like AMAC that fights for your values, like protecting our borders, supporting small business, defending your individual freedoms? Becoming an AMAC member means standing up for our Constitution and for the innocent unborn. It means standing firm in the fight against socialism. What's more, AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, minus the liberal agenda. Do me a favor, do America a favor. Join right now at amac.us. Tell your friends and family, too. The benefits are great. The cause is even greater. Help AMAC fight the good fight by joining today at amac.us. That's amac.us. amac.us. Go check them out right now. There is no reason you should be spending your hard-earned money on the AARP when they are fighting against all the causes you believe in. Instead, go join up with AMAC right now. amac.us. That's amac.us. Tell all your friends. amac.us. Alrighty, so let's talk a little bit about the Democrats and the Russia probe. So they continue to claim that obstruction is occurring. Obviously, the media are relying on James Comey, but the Democrats just keep saying that there's obstruction. They keep pushing this. I don't think there's a lot there for them to grab. So Jerry Nadler keeps saying this is obstruction without any proof of obstruction. Okay, tell us about it, Representative Nadler.
The Attorney General has told us repeatedly, and all the Republicans, Senator McConnell and others, have told us that the finding of the Mueller report was no collusion, no obstruction. If that's true, why are they trying to hide it? It's obviously not true. Private citizens or employees of the Justice Department must testify for a congressional or a court subpoena. It's not optional unless they have a legal reason not to, and the so-called executive privilege is nonsense.
All righty, so this, of course, is untrue. You know, the idea that any obstruction is taking place, he has no actual evidence of this. Mueller is going to testify. Every aspect of this, where they say President Trump has obstructed, the only area where he can credibly claim that President Trump did not give all the information to Mueller, is the area where he didn't sit down with Mueller, which no lawyer in their right mind would allow Trump to do. This is all manufactured. Nancy Pelosi says she supports Jerry Nadler, however, and she thinks that William Barr should presumably be held in contempt. If she had the courage of her convictions, she'd call for impeachment, but she's not doing that.
We're talking about a cumulative effect of obstruction that the administration is engaged in, and the president declaring that he is not going to honor any subpoenas from the Congress. So I support the path that our chairman are on, and I do believe that it will establish the case for where we go from here.
All righty. So, you know, again, the fact that she is continuing to push this demonstrates how dishonest all of this is. I'm with President Trump when he says that this has now become a hoax and a witch hunt. Again, I was very skeptical of that sort of language, but now at this point with the Democrats having the Mueller report in front of them and continuing to maintain this stuff, I'm with President Trump now when he says that this is a hoax and a witch hunt. Meanwhile, the 2020 race heating up. Joe Biden is moving ever to the left in an attempt to cut off Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and all the rest of the sort of leftist pack of hounds who are chomping at his heels. So Vice President Joe Biden, look at how he has switched on illegal immigration. So it used to be that he thought illegal immigrants should be deported. Now he thinks illegal immigrants should get free health care, effectively speaking. Here is Joe Biden now versus then on illegal immigration.
What you do is you work on this idea of earned citizens. You make them all return to the border to get a tamper-proof card. You force them, everyone, to have a criminal background check. You require that they have to have, prove they have a job. You have to require you prove that they have, are paying Social Security and paying their taxes. And then if they do that and are prepared to pay a fine, over the next 6 years they can earn their way to citizenship, they learn to speak English, and learn to deal like everyone else did in order to gain citizenship. But if they don't, then you send them back.
Do you think that the undocumented immigrants who are in this country and are law-abiding should be entitled to federal benefits, Medicare, Medicaid, for example?
Look, I think that anyone who is in a situation where they're in need of health care, regardless of whether they're documented or undocumented, we have an obligation to see that they're cared for. That's why I think we need more clinics around the country.
Oh, funny. So it seems like he has changed his tune just a little bit. What happens if they need to speak English, they need to pay their taxes, they need to pay back taxes and all of this? Pretty amazing. He is moving to the left because the entire Democratic Party is moving to the left. How far to the left? Bernie Sanders is a mainstream guy. AOC is a mainstream gal. Yesterday they sat next to each other. The amount of brain power in that room, man, that could toast a piece of bread lightly if it were channeled in electricity. Here's Bernie Sanders and AOC proposing that we make banks out of the post office.
Many poor people don't have access to banking services.
That's right.
Because the big banks are not worried about somebody who, you know, makes 10 bucks an hour. They can't make enough money off of that. So we have got to move toward universal banking through the postal system. You got post offices in almost every community in America. They should be available to provide basic banking services so that people do not have to go into payday lenders.
Okay, so it's pretty amazing. Even people on the left understand that what Bernie Sanders and AOC are proposing here, making banks out of the post offices, is very, very dumb. Kevin Drum has a piece from years ago about all of this. Kevin Drum is a columnist for Mother Jones, which is a far-left magazine. And he says, what exactly is the core competency that would allow the Postal Service to excel at banking? So they say what would make it good is that there are lots of post offices. You know what else there are? Lots of banking outlets. Lots of banks, like 100,000 across the United States. What else would make these great for banks? Trust and familiarity with the postal brand? Again, not a lot of people actually trust the post office. And also, when Sanders and AOC are talking about what exactly should happen with these small accounts do exist at banks, and also there are such things as payday lenders. And the biggest problem with providing very small loans from banks is that the default rate is extraordinary. So what AOC and Bernie Sanders really are talking about is the federal government subsidizing people with another entitlement program. They'll give loans to people who they know will not be able to repay those loans in small amounts via the post office. That's the agenda here. But this is the Democratic Party that Joe Biden is trying to fend off. And that is why Joe Biden is moving ever more to the left. I mean, Bernie Sanders is openly claiming that we should cap credit card rates. So he wants to take control of the entire credit industry of the United States. Can't see how this goes wrong. The problem is when you collectivize individual problems, the collective tends to fail at the same rate as the individual. Coming up, we'll jump into the mailbag and answer some of your questions. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Michael Savage of the Savage Nation podcast. There is nothing like it in the podcast universe. You see, ignoring Islamic terrorism is not only deadly, it is racist and suicidal. They refuse to acknowledge the crimes of some. They think that will protect innocent Muslims. People also don't like being lied to. The Savage Nation podcast. Listen and download for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your audio. From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
Welcome back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. So, it's time to jump into the mailbag and answer some of your questions. Kelly says, if William Barr, the AG, cannot release unredacted information as it against the law, how can Congress legally compel a U.S. citizen to break the law? Does Barr have recourse for this illegal activity against him? Yes. If they hold him in civil contempt for this, it will end up in the Supreme Court. He will sue them on the basis that this is not appropriate and that they are compelling him to violate American law. I think he'd be likely to win in that case. Sarah says, hey, Ben. I'm an English teacher in public high school. This year, for the first time in my career, I had a parent strongly object to the novel To Kill a Mockingbird. She claimed it was inappropriate and outdated, and it made her daughter uncomfortable. And of course, I was racist for choosing to teach it. To my shame, I gave in and decided not to teach the book this year. I noticed on Twitter you said you consider it one of the top American novels. Some teachers have abandoned the book because they argue it others African-American students and should be replaced with a book written by a person of color. I was wondering, what is your argument for the value of teaching To Kill a Mockingbird to today's students? To Kill a Mockingbird is one of the great American novels. It is not only beautifully written, it is a story about the inculcation of civilization and morality in children and the need to defend people who specifically are being treated as other for unjust reasons. To Kill a Mockingbird is one of the great moral stories. It's almost part of the American mythology, this great moral story of Atticus Finch, a Southern lawyer who is standing up for a wrongly accused black man in the Jim Crow South. And the consequences of doing that, the consequences for how you could read that as a racist book is absolutely beyond me. I do not understand how that is possible. But it does show how the nature of our view of race in America, and really, our, not even race in America, of how America should view race has changed. To Kill a Mockingbird is an aspirational book. It's about how we should treat each other with regard to race. We should treat each other as individual human beings with innate human decency, and we should aspire to be Atticus Finch. A few years back, Harper Lee's estate released an early draft of To Kill a Mockingbird, in which Atticus Finch is basically an old racist. And it's about Harper Lee writing about her father, and the entire book casts Atticus Finch as an old-style, brutal Jim Crow racist. And the critics were talking about, many of the critics were talking about how this book is more of a real appreciation of what America is and was than To Kill a Mockingbird. Well, it is true there were a lot of old-style Jim Crow racists in the South during Jim Crow. It is also true that if you want to teach people about what America can be, you teach them about To Kill a Mockingbird. If you want to teach people about what America was, then you actually just show them tape, because we have video. James says, "Hey, Ben, how do you talk to your kids about the Holocaust? I want to know how best to talk to my kids about the horrors of slavery without them viewing themselves as victims. P.S., can you wish my wife, Audrey, a happy birthday? She got me a subscription to Daily Wire as a gift." Well, Audrey, happy birthday. That's awesome, and thank you for rewarding your husband with a subscription to Daily Wire. How do I talk to my kids about the Holocaust? They're too young right now. One is 5 and one is 3. I think they will be old enough maybe when they hit 7 or 8 years old. And what I will talk about is that there is a long history of persecution against Jews in a variety of countries, culminating in probably the worst persecution in the history of mankind, the Holocaust. It's deeply disturbing stuff. This is why you should be grateful that you live in the greatest time, in the greatest civilization, in the greatest country. And you should be grateful for the people around you who fought to end that Holocaust. You should be grateful to America, which fought to stop that Holocaust. You should understand that there's a potential for grave evil in every human heart, including your own, and we should work to wipe away that evil. You should understand that the power of the collective is so intense that sometimes people who even consider themselves decent go along with evil, and you need to stand up and say, no, you use it as a moral teaching tool. The same thing I would assume is true of slavery. I wouldn't teach it as, you're a victim because the Holocaust happened. I would teach it as, evil is possible. Evil does sometimes specifically target Jews, just as evil does sometimes specifically target black folks. And the only way to fight it is to stand up and shout about it and rally good people around the cause to fight against it when appropriate, without considering yourself a victim in a society that has fought to end slavery, in a society that has fought to stop the Holocaust, in a society that ended Jim Crow. It's great to live in a country where we can say all of those things, isn't it? Kyle says, "In some of the research I've come across, I've seen the comparison between CEO wages compared to their other fellow employees has grown to around 400 times the average worker over the past 2 decades. I'm curious as to the validity of this information, and if it is true economically, is there something we can do? Or is this something the economy will sort out on its own, given enough time?" Well, I don't really see why the gap between the CEO wages and fellow employees is of concern. The question is whether people are being underpaid. People have said this about, you know, the CEO of McDonald's. McDonald's has tens, if not hundreds of thousands of employees, and the CEO makes a few million dollars a year. Well, the average McDonald's employee is making whatever it is, $12 an hour or something. If you were to fire the CEO and redistribute his salary, everybody would get maybe a 5-cent raise, 10-cent raise, something like that. The question is not what the CEO makes. When you decide whether to hire a CEO, you have to pay him market wages to get whoever you think is best at that job, and that's something approved by the board in order to bring in talent. And being a CEO requires years of education. It requires years of hard work and a skill set. And if that person's bad, they get all the blame, obviously. So I'm very little concerned about this. This is just a general point. I do not care very much about income inequality. I care a lot about what happens to people at the bottom end of the scale and whether, in fact, there are systematic obstructions being put in their way to grow.
Cleary's Restaurant has an important question.
Have you made your reservations for Mother's Day yet? Well, why not? We'll be open for Mother's Day serving brunch from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Chef Les has created a delicious menu, starting with a fresh fruit parfait and house-baked scones, followed by your choice of a plated brunch. Crab cakes, egg benedict, blackberry oatmeal pancakes, and house-made corned beef hash, just to mention a few. Are you drooling yet? We'll be open for dinner as well from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m.
Cleary's Restaurant at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 241-4535 for your Mother's Day reservations.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only 4 AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area.
Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Trump saying that U.S.-China trade talks were candid and constructive, but no deal reached as new tariffs kick in. In cooperation with Salem Media, financial analyst Hillary Kramer believes that the U.S.-China trade talks will be protracted even after this latest round's drama.
China and the United States are going to continue talking. We are going to continue having conversations until year end. Even when we sign and we're done with the trade agreement, there will be another version. This is going to go on. It's not going to end anytime soon.
Hillary Kramer, the editor of the financial newsletter Game Changers. The Cuban government announced Friday that it's launching widespread rationing of chicken, eggs, rice, beans, soap, and other basic products in the face of a grave economic crisis.
Commerce Minister Betsy Diaz Velasquez told the state-run Cuban news agency that various forms of rationing would be employed in order to deal with shortages of staple foods. She blamed the hardening of the U.S. trade embargo by the Trump administration, but economists give equal or greater blame to a plunge in aid from Venezuela, where the collapse of the state-run oil company has led to a nearly two-thirds cut in shipments of subsidized fuel that Cuba used for power and to earn hard currency on the open market. Keith Peters reporting.
Correspondent Wally Hines reports that the House Ways and Means Committee has issued a subpoena for President Trump's tax returns.
In an escalation of the ongoing battles between Democrats and the president, Ways and Means Committee Chairman Richard Neal has subpoenaed Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig for 6 years' worth of the president's returns. Mnuchin earlier this week rejected the request. The top Republican on the committee, Kevin Brady, earlier said that such a subpoena would be an abuse of the committee's oversight powers.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug In Pest Free, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug In Pest Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest-Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our best-seller, the Plug-In Pest-Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. GoPestFree.com today.
As many as 70 migrants trying to reach Europe from Libya drowned Friday when their boat capsized in the Mediterranean Sea, and at least 16 other people from the boat were rescued. That, according to UN migration officials and Tunisia's state news agency, this report from the BBC.
Reports say that around 70 migrants from sub-Saharan Africa boarded a boat in the coastal town of Zawada in Libya. Since mid-2017, the number of migrant journeys across the Mediterranean has declined dramatically. That's because Italy has engaged Libyan forces to stop migrants from setting off or to return them to Libya if found at sea. The numbers may have declined, but the capsizing off the coast of Tunisia shows that migrant journeys across the Mediterranean remain extremely dangerous.
News and analysis at townhall.com. More schools around the country are turning to students to fix electronic devices. Correspondent Ed Donahue has more.
Geraldine Stellato School has Tech Team Junior.
I like to describe them as fearless.
She is at Oliver W. Winch Middle School in Glens Falls, New York.
So they will open up the back of a computer and they're not shocked at what they see. They're willing to go in, take a look at it, take it apart, and kind of that learn through failure.
One of those team members is Brandon Ferris.
I've seen Chromebooks that have been fully ripped apart by kids. I've seen stuff from fully being pulled apart.
Stilato says turnaround time is quicker now because they have more hands, and the kids can repair a screen in a study hall or during their lunch. For Brandon Ferris, their work is not all high tech.
We all kind of socialize and have fun with each other.
And this is a big help for school districts that don't have the staff to make repairs. I'm Ed Donahue.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. We'll be joined a little bit later on in the hour by Ami Horowitz. He's a conservative documentary filmmaker, and now he's running for president on the Democratic ticket. We'll talk with him about what exactly all of this is about. Plus, Beto is getting roasted, man. I remember when Beto was the hot new thing. He was a bra, yo. The media loved him. Not anymore. Now dude's got some trouble. So we'll talk about that as well. We begin today, however, with Rudy Giuliani researching in Ukraine. So people are very, very upset at Rudy Giuliani. Wow. So terrible. So terrible. How could Rudy Giuliani go over to Ukraine and seek dirt on Joe Biden? According to the New York Times, Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's personal lawyer, is encouraging Ukraine to wade further into sensitive political issues in the United States, seeking to push the incoming government in Kiev to press ahead with investigations that he hopes will benefit Mr. Trump. Giuliani said he plans to travel to Kiev, the Ukrainian capital, in the coming days, and wants to meet with the nation's president-elect to urge him to pursue inquiries that allies of the White House contend could yield new information about two matters of intense interest to Mr. Trump. One is the origin of the special counsel's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 election. The other is the involvement of former VP Joseph Biden's son in a gas company owned by a Ukrainian oligarch. According to the New York Times, Mr. Giuliani's plans create the remarkable scene of a lawyer for the President of the United States pressing a foreign government to pursue investigations that Mr. Trump's allies hope could help him in his reelection campaign. And it comes after Trump spent more than half of his term facing questions about whether his 2016 campaign conspired with a foreign power. Giuliani said, quote, "We're not meddling in an election. We're meddling in an investigation, which we have a right to do." He says, "There's nothing illegal about it. Somebody could say it's improper. This isn't foreign policy. I'm asking them to do an investigation they're already doing and that other people are telling them to stop. And I'm going to give them reasons why they shouldn't stop it, because that information will be very, very helpful to my client and may turn out to be helpful to my government." So that is Rudy Giuliani being way too honest with the media right there. Basically saying, yeah, I'm headed over to Ukraine and I want them to investigate this thing because it could help us in our efforts to stop Joe Biden from becoming president of the United States. So in and of itself, I'm not a big fan of this. In fact, I think it's pretty bad. I do not think that the lawyer for the president of the United States should be headed over to a foreign country to encourage them to pursue an investigation into matters that concern a domestic political rival. I think it's actually quite bad. I think the fact that Rudy Giuliani is doing that at the behest of Donald Trump, and that presumably the implication lies that he could be looking for some, that maybe if Ukraine does the right thing here, wink, wink, nod, nod, there could be some benefit to them. I think that that's not good stuff. I think it's pretty openly bad stuff. The United States government should not be engaged in this sort of activity, trading perhaps the political favor of the president for some dirt about his opponents. That would be bad, bad stuff if you're talking about Ukraine. Now, it's possible there's no pro quo. I mean, again, maybe this is just Giuliani seeking for the Ukrainian government to investigate Biden, and then there will be no other kind of pat on the back or pat on the head or anything like that. Maybe it's disconnected. That would presumably be what Giuliani would claim. It certainly looks not good. The fact Giuliani's being so open about it suggests there will be no pro quo. that there will be no sort of payoff. Nonetheless, it's a bad look. Giuliani's planned trip, which has not been previously reported, is part of a months-long effort by the former New York mayor and small group of Trump allies working to build interest in the Ukrainian inquiries. Their motivation is to try to discredit the special counsel's investigation, undermine the case against Paul Manafort, Trump's imprisoned former campaign chairman, and potentially damage Biden, the early frontrunner for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination. The investigations had been opened up by Ukrainian prosecutors serving during the term of the country's current president, Petro Poroshenko. He lost his re-election bid last month to Volodymyr Zelensky, a comedian and political newcomer. Zelensky has said he'd like to replace the prosecutor who oversaw some of the matters, Yuri Lutsenko, who has met multiple times with Giuliani to discuss the issues. Zelensky is set to take office on June 3rd. Giuliani said that he'd been planning for several weeks to travel to Kiev to deliver a paid speech, but intermediaries for Giuliani worked to organize meetings with people who they believed would have insights into the coming Zelensky administration and to the investigations in which Giuliani was interested in. Apparently, Giuliani was trying to get a meeting with Zelensky, the incoming Ukrainian president. If the meeting does occur, Giuliani said, I'm going to tell him what I know about the people that are surrounding him and how important it is to do a full, complete, and fair investigation. He said his efforts in Ukraine have Trump's full support. He declined to say specifically whether he had briefed him on the planned meeting with Zelensky, but he added, he basically knows what I'm doing, sure, as his lawyer. The White House did not immediately respond to a request for comment on Thursday. Trump has called attention to the scrutiny of Mr. Biden's son, Hunter Biden. We've talked about this on the program before. And to questions about Joe Biden's involvement in the removal of the Ukrainian prosecutor whose office had authority over investigations of the oligarch whose company paid Hunter Biden. So a couple of things here. The fact that the Obama administration had authority over the investigations, the Obama administration was working with the Ukrainian government at the same time that the Ukrainian government had authority over investigations on Hunter Biden, that in and of itself was a sign of corruption that sounds very similar to like what Giuliani is frankly doing here. Trump has also sought to stir up interesting claims that Ukrainian officials tried to benefit Hillary Clinton in 2016 by focusing attention on Manafort's business in Ukraine. On social media and regular appearances on Fox News, apparently there are a couple of people who have been pushing the theory that the special counsel's investigation was the result of a Justice Department effort to frame Mr. Trump. Giuliani has been working with a couple of lawyers, one named Victoria Tensing, and another, her husband named Joseph DeGeneva, who said they would assist the president in other legal matters, including that. So people are going nuts over this. How could Rudy Giuliani do all this? And as I say, I don't like the look of it. I don't like the look of the personal lawyer for the president of the United States heading abroad in order to encourage an investigation into the son of the president's political rival. That sounds bad to me. And it's getting blanket media coverage. Blanket media coverage. And frankly, I think it should. I will tell you what did not receive blanket media coverage. Back in 2016, when Hillary Clinton was being helped directly by Ukrainian government officials. There's a lone story about this back in January of 2017 by Kenneth Vogel and David Stern. Here's what the story says. Donald Trump wasn't the only presidential candidate whose campaign was boosted by officials of a former Soviet bloc country. Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump by publicly questioning his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption and suggested they were investigating the matter, only to back away after the election. And they helped Clinton allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors, according to a Politico investigation. A Ukrainian-American operative who was consulting for the DNC met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington during the campaign in an effort to expose ties between Trump and Paul between Trump aide Paul Manafort and Russia. The Ukrainian efforts had an impact on the race. They helped force Manafort's resignation. They advanced the narrative that Trump's campaign was deeply connected to Russia. But they were far less concerted or centrally directed than Russia's alleged hacking and dissemination of Democratic emails. That's Politico commenting, but the fact is, meeting at the Ukrainian embassy with a DNC consultant about dirt on Donald Trump is not materially different than what happened at Trump Tower. The only difference is that Ukraine is an allied country, whereas Russia is more of a geopolitical foe. Politico's investigation found evidence of Ukrainian government involvement in the race that appears to strain diplomatic protocol dictating that governments refrain from engaging in one another's elections. All that's happening here is that Trump and his team are awkward and obvious about the moves that they make on this score, whereas the Hillary Clinton team was a little more subtle, and so they got away with it. But it's worthwhile noting that this Politico story, which has become a popular talking point on the right, has never broken into the mainstream on the left. And as far as the notion that Rudy Giuliani going over there is something uniquely bad. I think it's bad. But the idea that it's uniquely bad is simply not true. Again, the Obama administration presided over the working with the Ukrainian government on an investigation into Hunter Biden's son at the time that Hunter Biden was Joe Biden's, Joe Biden was serving in the administration. So in other words, it's funny how only one side of this story gets told. So when it's Trump, it's super dirty politics. It's super corrupt. It's super terrible. But when it is the left, then it's just kind of the way the politics goes, obviously. It's no wonder that Trump basically says, listen, I'm not going to abide by any of your standards. It's not an excuse for him not to abide by a moral standard, but it is an explanation for why President Trump feels he doesn't need to do so. It's pretty incredible the double standard that is applied by the media in these cases. If you actually want to end the practice, you have to call it out whenever it occurs. If you want the practice to continue, then only call it out when one side occurs. The other side is sure to start participating in the practice no matter what. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, would you pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought tooth and nail for government-run healthcare? You know, an organization that stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? You wouldn't. Well, then why are you joining AARP? Stand instead with nearly 2 million others by joining AMAC, the conservative alternative instead. Wouldn't you rather belong to an organization like AMAC that fights for your values? You know, protecting our borders, supporting small business, defending your individual freedoms? Becoming an AMAC member means standing up for our Constitution and for the innocent unborn. It means standing firm in the fight against socialism. What's more, AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, minus the liberal agenda. So do me a favor, do America a favor, and join right now at amac.us. Tell your family and friends as well. The benefits are great, the cause is even greater. Help AMAC fight the good fight by joining today at amac.us. That's amac.us, amac.us. Go check them out right now. Don't join the AARP. Make sure that you are protecting your principles as well as your benefits. Go to amac.us. Join up and tell all your friends about it. That's amac.us, amac.us. The AARP, one of the biggest lobbying organizations for the left in America. No reason your hard-earned dollars should go toward the AARP. Instead, try amac.us. That's amac.us. Okay, so, as I say, I think one of the things that has happened inside Team Trump is they look at the state of politics, and they're very cynical about the state of politics. And I think very often that cynicism is dangerous because it leads you to make decisions that are immoral in the belief that everybody else is making decisions that are immoral. But what happens when everybody else is making decisions that are immoral? What happens when the Hillary Clinton campaign was working in the Ukrainian embassy to dig up dirt on Donald Trump and Paul Manafort? Does that suggest that Donald Trump should sit by idly and that Rudy Giuliani should sit by idly while an investigation into Hunter Biden goes on in Ukraine? It's going to be very difficult to maintain the pretense that Donald Trump ought to be the only moral person in the room. When we know who Donald Trump is, that's not a thing he is going to do. It's one of the reasons his supporters love him. It's one of the reasons everybody else dislikes him. The fact is that Donald Trump is not going to sit still. He's not going to sit still and pretend that he's going to play Marcus of Queensberry rules. If Hillary Clinton was willing to go to the Ukrainians for help, Donald Trump has no problem going to the Ukrainians for help. And so long as there is no pro quo, so long as Donald Trump is not offering anything to the Ukrainian government in return for this sort of dirt, there's no crime being committed. And they're doing it out in the open. It's brazen, but again, brazenness is not a crime. All right, coming up in just a second, we'll be joined by Ami Horowitz. He's a conservative documentary filmmaker now running for the Democratic Party nomination. We'll ask him about it. First, some things in life are pretty uncomfortable to talk about. Sex is one of those things. Sex is also one of the most important things in life, especially within the context of marriage. Studies show that 70% of dudes who experience erectile dysfunction don't get treated for it for just that reason. It can be awkward to discuss, but sometimes things just don't work the way they're supposed to. That's not anything to be ashamed about, just like so many health issues are nothing to be ashamed about. That's where our friends at Roman come in. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where you can chat with a licensed U.S. physician who can treat ED and, if safe and appropriate, ship medication directly to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything discreetly online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/Shapiro, complete an online visit, chat with the doctor, and if the doctor decides it would be safe and appropriate, they will ship genuine medication directly to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Dudes, go online, get checked by the doctor. ED can be embarrassing to talk about. It should not be. With Roman, it's really simple to tackle, so go take care of it. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free online visit. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. All right, coming up, Ami Horowitz, conservative documentary filmmaker and Democratic presidential candidate, is joining us He'll talk about his nascent campaign and how you can help out. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
This is Michael Savage of the Savage Nation podcast. There is nothing like it in the podcast universe.
You see, ignoring Islamic terrorism is not only deadly, it is racist and suicidal. They refuse to acknowledge the crimes of some. They think that will protect innocent Muslims. People also don't like being lied to. The Savage Nation podcast. Listen and download for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your audio. From the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Welcome back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Ami Horowitz. He's a conservative documentary filmmaker, and now he is running for president on the Democratic ticket. You'll recognize Ami from Fox News. He also has made the documentary You and Me, a critique of the United Nations, Showdown Wisconsin about the effort to recall Governor Scott Walker, Stockholm Syndrome, which covers no-go zones in Sweden. So Ami's a pretty solid conservative. So Ami, what's the deal? Why are you running for the Democratic nomination for president of the United States?
Look, I'm absolutely doing that. I never thought that I would say the words that I'm running for president of the United States, but I have. And the reason why I'm doing it, Ben, is because the Democratic Party has inexorably been moving to the left for the past, 20 years. But they seem to have warped physics more recently and shifted the entire center of political gravity inside the party to the radical left in a very short period of time. And I think they've become so radicalized that they're really in danger of destroying their own party, and I'm actually there to come and save them, really.
Well, so Ami, given the fact that you are unlikely to win the nomination, what's the actual purpose of all of this? I mean, if you do, it'd be fantastic, but what's the actual purpose, and what are you going to do moving forward to boost the chances that you become Democratic president of the United States?
Okay, so first of all, look, obviously this is a long shot, no question about it, but let's not forget that just a couple years ago, We would have said the same thing about Donald Trump's presidency. So, you never in this environment we live in, you never know what the end result is going to be. But look, what I'm there to do, I'm there to hold them accountable. Okay, so the media certainly is not going to hold them accountable at the debates for this set of policies that they set out that's so outside the mainstream. I will. And I'm going to throw an intellectual hand grenade on their own stage. And I make this pledge to all of your listeners. If you send me a dollar and punch my ticket to Democrat debates, I will make sure that stage is a very, very unsafe place. They need somebody to point out the fact that their view, they've become the party, and this is not rhetoric, this is reality. They've become the party of open borders. There are people on that stage who support open borders. Most of the people on that stage are signed up for late-term abortion, and they are running away as fast as they can from capitalism, the something that has never been a concept of an economic model that has created more wealth and brought more people out of poverty than capitalism. And these are things that 90% of the American population are out of step with. Okay, only the radicals inside the Democratic Party agree with this. So I'm there to make sure that this is all called out and this is made clear.
So with all of that said, how exactly do you get on the stage? So you sort of have detected a hole in the Democratic system. It's the same hole that I think Marianne Williamson is using to get on the Democratic stage. What do you have to do? What is the standard to get on the stage?
So there is a bit of a hack which I'm exploiting, granted. And the hack is this, is that if you are able to raise any amount of money, even a single dollar, from 65,000 individual donors across the United States, you have then qualified to make it on the debate stage. It's as simple as that. It's $1 gets you on that debate stage, and that's what the plan is. That's what I'm trying to do. This campaign is less than 36 hours old, and we've already crossed. We're well into the 10% range of what we need. We're at 7,350 something. So we are well on our way, although we have more to go. So we need people to send that dollar in at AmiForAmerica.com.
So, Ami, how is that going? You've launched the campaign already. You've been on national TV talking about it a couple times. How's the support going? First of all, everybody should give, because the spectacle of, an actual journalist on the stage asking people actual questions would be wonderful, because we all know how the Democratic primary debates are going to go. It's going to be a moderator from CNN asking all of the candidates about just how beautiful and inspiring they are. So how has the campaign been going thus far?
It has warmed the cockles of my heart, the amount of support that we're getting from people, Democrats and Republicans, and maybe even as importantly as that is the mainstream media starting to pay attention only, 2 days in. Newsweek has already done two articles about this, so the Daily Beast and The Hill, where they're calling me the disruptor. Which, by the way, is a term that I think I like. I'm not a disruptor in the pejorative sense, but more in the technological and innovative sense. That I think that I am trying to disrupt the direction this party is going in, because the party is that the direction they're going in is going to destroy their party and harm this country to a great extent. So yeah, I'm really happy on how the coverage is going so far and how the support is going down.
So Ami, do you have specific questions for each candidate, and can we get kind of a sampling of the sort of thing that Democrats will face if they step on stage with you?
I absolutely do. For every single one, I have tailor-made questions. I don't want to reveal them now and kind of open up my game plan, but I will say this, that the views that they have expressed on television, on their websites, in interviews, in papers, they will be held accountable for every single one of those views. When people say to me, well, wait a second, there's other guys who are moderate. Look at Joe Biden. When Joe Biden makes a comment yesterday when he says that he wants to give health insurance to all illegal immigrants in this country who are both in here and coming in, those are things that he's going to have to answer to on that stage.
Well, Ami Horowitz, I think that the reason to give to Ami Horowitz his campaign is obviously because he's actually doing the job that the media won't do. And it's a ringing rebuke of the members of our journalistic establishment, frankly, folks, that you have to apparently raise $65,000 from a bunch of different states in order to ask a decent question, because none of these journalists will. So, Ami, I encourage everybody to give to your campaign for president. Where can people go to give money to your campaign and ensure that you get on that debate stage?
They can go to AmiForAmerica.com, and they can send any amount of money, and they will help punch my ticket to hold these guys accountable on their own stage.
Well, go check it out, AmiForAmerica.com. Again, that's AmiForAmerica.com. Can you imagine the amusement and the bemusement on the stage? It should be wonderful. Ami, thanks so much for joining the show. Great to talk to you, dude.
Ben, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Coming up, apparently there's one Democratic candidate who is beginning to fade into the night. He was originally a front runner. He was a guy who was supposed to be the big new thing. I'll give you a hint. He rides a skateboard, brah. We'll talk about why the media are suddenly turning on Beto O'Rourke and stabbing him in the back repeatedly over and over and over. Like it's an Agatha Christie novel. Talk about it is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Backbone Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Professional cleaning services. 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you don't have to be all that old to recall the time when Beto O'Rourke was the darling of the left. Jake Gyllenhaal wearing his t-shirts, Beto for America. He was a front runner. He could have been a contender. Well, no longer. The long knives out. The long knives are out for Beto O'Rourke. And he is in serious trouble. The media have turned on him, his only ally, because it turns out Beto's never actually done anything. And Beto was in Congress for a little while, and that was it. Then he ran an unsuccessful campaign for Senate in Texas. He lost to Ted Cruz, one of the most unpopular people in the Senate. And then he was touted as a presidential candidate briefly. All of the excitement was supposed to translate over to the big presidential campaign. But no, he failed to gain any steam at all. He raised some initial money, but he had no new ideas. It turns out that he is a weirdo who is boring on the campaign trail, who spends much of his day spouting slogans and talking about meeting with the people, yay. Turns out that he is full of gaffes, whether it is eating dirt, as he apparently did after losing to Ted Cruz, or whether it is saying to people who have given more charity than he has that his form of charity is going out on the road to be with you. Beto O'Rourke's candidacy has been sinking like a stone, and the media have finally caught on. Hilarious that all it took for the media to catch on to the fact that Beto is a non-entity is for him to run against a Democrat. When he's running against a Republican, dude is unstoppable. He's magic. He's magic. And they did a full documentary on him for HBO, how magical this man was. And now he's running against fellow Democrats, and now they're gonna cap him. So, Politico has a long article today by Michael Cruz. The title, Beto's Long History of Failing Upward. Wait, you just noticed this? His band didn't catch on. His alt-weekly flopped. He lost his highest profile race inside the long, risk-free rise of Beto O'Rourke. Ouch. Ames, Iowa. The presidential run of Beto O'Rourke is a profoundly personality-driven exercise. His charisma and Kennedy-esque demeanor, the topic of one profile after another. So it's surprising to listen to his speeches on the stump, in which he doesn't talk a whole lot about himself. In Iowa recently, over several days in a rainy, foggy, uncertain stretch of spring, O'Rourke delivered a series of speeches and held question-and-answer sessions in which he spoke at length about unity, civility, and inclusivity, and only rarely touched on his personal story. There was one notable exception. When he did offer up bits of his bio, he leaned most heavily on his run last year against Ted Cruz for a spot in the U.S. Senate. He recounted for the crowds tales of the places he went, the people he met during his barnstorming, freewheeling, attention-getting campaign, coming back to two numbers, 254, the number of counties in gargantuan Texas, all of which he visited, and the percentage point margin by which he was defeated, 2.6%. He says, we lost by 2.6%. He said in a basement music venue at Iowa State University, he says, we lost that Senate race in Texas by 2.6%. He said that in a downtown Greasy Spoon in Storm Lake. We came within 2.6 percentage points of defeating Ted Cruz. He said in a community college cafeteria in Fort Dodge. So close. So close. The part of his path that he talked about by far the most was a race he lost, says Politico. I mean, this is a brutal piece. This is a brutal takedown. O'Rourke, 46, campaigns with the wanderlust of the wannabe punk rocker he once was, and the vigor of the regular runner, hiker, and cyclist he still is. His hair is somehow simultaneously boyish and salt and pepper streaked. He's got the bangs that flow over his forehead, flips them out of his eyes occasionally to give you a deep look. He drives himself around in rented Dodge minivans, dressed almost always in plain brown shoes, Banana Republic chinos, and blue Oxford shirts with no tie and the sleeves rolled up just so. He often dons locally appropriate dad hats, from a maroon Iowa State cap at Iowa State to an orange Clemson cap at Clemson, and so on. He holds microphones with his right hand, kind of like a singer. He extends his left arm into the air, kind of like a preacher. He punctuates his points with grins that flash perfectly in perfect teeth. After Iowa, I dropped in on O'Rourke on the trail in South Carolina and Virginia, listening to him rat-a-tat through his airy, often alliterative talking points about common cause and common ground and common good and conscientious capitalism and our aspirations and our ambitions instead of the pettiness and partisanship of politics today. And almost always, when he did talk about himself, it would be back to the time he fell just short. We lost by 2.6%, he said to a small low-key gathering in rural Denmark, South Carolina. Celebrating defeat is unusual for a politician. Doing so makes O'Rourke notably different from the rest of the unwieldy field of Democrats running for president. In contrast to the 20 or so other 2020 candidates, O'Rourke presents his loss to Cruz as a prominent selling point. More than his ownership of a small business, more than his 6 years on city council in El Paso, more than his next six as a backbench House member in Congress. His near miss against a prominent Republican in a red state was such a high-quality failure, so epically heroic, he seems to suggest, that it should be considered something of a victory. But while it might be his most spotlit miss, according to Politico, it's not an aberration. There's a reason his bio doesn't feature much in the campaign. For O'Rourke, the phenomenon on display in that race, failure without negative effects and with perhaps some kind of personal boost, is a feature of his life and career. That biography is marked as much by meandering missteps and moments of melancholic searching as by resume-boosting victories and honors. And the piece just goes on to tear Beto O'Rourke a new one. They're just noticing that he has lived a charmed life. They even quote a Club for Growth ad. That Club for Growth ad said, with a charmed life like his, you can never really lose. That's why Beto is running for president, because he can. It's not just Republicans who think this. Sonia Van Meter, an Austin-based Democratic consultant and self-described raging feminist, said, quote, he's a rich, straight, white dude who, you know, married into what should be politely be called F you money. His biggest success is by definition a failure. He has absolutely failed up. And then they go into his long history about how he went to college and he failed as a musician. It's pretty incredible that it took them this long to figure this out. But again, they're only figuring it out now because they wanted Beto O'Rourke to win. And that does tell you everything you need to know about publications like Politico. So long as Beto O'Rourke is running against Ted Cruz, he's an inspiring figure, a man who captures the feelings of a people. And then the minute Ted Cruz is off the table and he's running against, you know, Kamala Harris or Bernie Sanders, then the media are like, who's this guy? This guy who failed up? Now, what will be interesting to see is if Stacey Abrams jumps into the race. So Stacey Abrams, the failed gubernatorial candidate in Georgia, she said yesterday, well, she might still consider running for president of the United States.
It has been reported that you, while not running for Senate, are still potentially considering joining the ever-growing Democratic presidential field. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, so she is still considering. Now, if she jumps in, do you think there will be the same articles about her failing upward? Because she lost. She lost to Brian Kemp. And I understand the Democrats want to pretend she didn't lose to Brian Kemp, but she did, in fact, lose to Brian Kemp. I really doubt that the media are going to treat Stacey Abrams, a failed gubernatorial candidate, the same way they treat Beto O'Rourke, a failed senatorial candidate. And there's only one reason why. Stacey Abrams, who never was in Congress, she's only held state offices. Stacey Abrams is more intersectional. The media would like to see Stacey Abrams as a competitive candidate, even though she, too, would be failing upward. So Beto O'Rourke is not really suffering because the media are suddenly discovering something new about him. He's suffering because he is a white male in a crowded intersectional field and because he is no longer running against Ted Cruz, the man the media loves to hate most. It is that simple. And it does show you how the media can craft out of whole cloth an entire narrative about a candidate, how they can craft out of whole cloth this incredible story about a bright, shining star. And then the minute he's no longer of use, boom, he's gone. The media create candidates. Now, what they can't do is destroy a candidate on the right. So they can create a candidate on the left and destroy a candidate on the left. What they cannot do is destroy a candidate on the right. They can create a candidate on the right. That's what they did with Donald Trump. But once they've created it, people on the right do not trust the media when it comes to who they destroy. And so they try to destroy Trump, and the right just says, no, not interested. So the media can elevate people to a level of fame and prominence, but the media can't take them down if they're on the right. It is a little different on the other end. It is a little different when it comes to the Democrats. They can make or break virtually anyone. You're beginning to see this happen with Bernie Sanders as well, and that's kind of an interesting thing. The Democratic Party that was so in love with Bernie Sanders, now Bernie Sanders is dropping in the polls, and you're starting to see Time Magazine treat him as old news. They're putting Elizabeth Warren on the cover of the magazine. Kamala Harris is going to gain. So the cannibalism against Bernie Sanders has begun. But there is one difference. Bernie Sanders is a little more durable than Beto O'Rourke. Remember, he got millions of people to vote for him last time around. In a second, we're going to get to the latest person who seems to be quasi-endorsing Bernie Sanders. First, let's talk about protecting your cybersecurity. Admit it, you think cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You might think no one wants your data or that hackers can't grab your passwords or credit card details. You would be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest, cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you may as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. That's why I decided to take action. To protect myself from cybercriminals, I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection, that only takes one click. Using ExpressVPN, I can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped on or having my personal data stolen. For less than $7 a month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I have. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months for free at expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben for 3 months free with a one-year package. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Right now to learn more. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Okay, so Sanders does have a little more durability than Beto O'Rourke. I mean, he's got more of a record. He is a sitting senator. He's got a loyal base. And now he apparently has the quasi-endorsement of the venerable AOC, one of our great public intellectuals. He sat next to AOC in a room that was illuminated by their shared brilliance. I mean, just so much brain power in that room. And AOC essentially said, you know what? Love this guy. And Sanders said, love her too. Here's AOC explaining the person she wants to vote for is not a Joe Biden, but a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren.
What I would like to see in a presidential candidate is one that has a coherent worldview and logic from which all these policy proposals are coming forward. I think Senator Sanders has that. I also think Senator Warren has that. And I also want to see us centering working people in the United States to stem income inequality, tackle climate change, and people who are bold of really big ideas that are going to make people's lives better.
So do you think you will endorse during the Democratic primary? Is that something you're leaving that option?
I'm entertaining, but it's not going to be for a while.
Yeah. Okay, so she is obviously trending toward the far left, and that's why she's sitting next to Bernie Sanders. So yesterday, Sanders sat next to her, and they proposed that we make banks out of post offices. Oh, a genius move.
Many poor people don't have access to banking services.
That's right.
Because the big banks are not worried about somebody who, you know, makes $10 an hour. They can't make enough money off of that. So we have got to move toward universal banking through the postal system. You got post offices in almost every community in America. They should be available to provide basic banking services so that people do not have to go into payday lenders.
Okay, so what would those banking services be? Well, first of all, they already exist. There are already community lenders. There are already co-op lenders, nonprofit banks. But I think what Bernie Sanders really would like out of all of this is to set up a system where the government is effectively giving very small loans to people that will never be paid back. Because the reason payday lenders exist is because they know that most of these loans will never be paid back. And that is why they lend them to you at very short terms at very high interest rates. So Bernie, again, bucking the markets. Bernie also says we should cap credit card rates. He now wants to control the credit card companies.
If interest rates otherwise are set by the market, why have you decided that a 15% cap is where to go?
Half of the American people today have no wealth at all. They're living paycheck to paycheck. You got a medical emergency, your car breaks down. These are desperate people. And then they go to Wall Street and they're charged outrageous interest rates. Wall Street profits are soaring. People get further and further in debt while wages remain stagnant. This really is disgusting. And it has got to, we have to stand up to the greed of Wall Street and change it.
Okay, so Bernie Sanders is, again, campaigning hard to the left. I don't think that he's going to fall apart quite as quickly as the media wish that he would so they can move on to Elizabeth Warren, but they will try the same sort of move. They are going to try the same sort of move because they need something that's a little bit more of a romantic alternative to Joe Biden. Because in the end, they are still afraid that Joe Biden is not intersectional enough. They are still afraid that Joe Biden is too moderate. And it's not a horse race. I mean, there's no coverage if Joe Biden just runs away with this thing. Bernie Sanders has been declining in the polls. I don't think they think he can be built back up. So watch for the knives to come out for Bernie Sanders next. If you're going to make a guess, Bernie Sanders is next on the agenda. Watch the media turn on him in favor of Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris. That's the next move. Donald Trump obviously thinks that Joe Biden is going to be the nominee. He tweeted out this morning, "Looks to me like it's going to be sleepy, creepy Joe over crazy Bernie. Everyone else is fading fast." So I do like that Trump is taking his own sleepy Joe and merging it with the internet's creepy Joe to come up with sleepy, creepy, peepy, creepy Joe. So that's exciting stuff. But you look at the polls, Biden's the clear front runner. The media aren't going to allow that to last for too long because then there's no horse race and then it's boring. Coming up, California is overhauling its sexual education curriculum. That is my stupid state. We'll tell you what they are doing to indoctrinate your kids. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to WaveCleanWater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE. 1-888-973-WAVE. Or go to WaveCleanWater.com. That's WaveCleanWater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
All righty, welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the state of California is revamping the guidance it gives for teaching sexual education from kindergarten through high school in public schools. Even though the guidance is not mandatory, according to the Washington Post, religious conservatives have been fighting it all the way. Board members on Wednesday considered objections to explicit material that had been recommended for use. They ended up removing some of it. The fact that they recommended it in the first place tells you pretty much what you need to know about sex ed in the state of California. One of the targets was a book titled Sex, the All You Need to Know Sexuality Guide to Get You Through Your Teens and Twenties. The panel voted to approve a broad framework for comprehensive sex ed that it says is age appropriate and important for young people to know to stay healthy. Religious conservatives, frankly, conservatives generally, people like me, say that what we ought to do is simply allow parents to teach their own kids about sex. It's been working for all of human history, the evidence being that humans exist. So somehow people have been figuring this stuff out. And there's no clear linkage between comprehensive sex ed, for example, and lower rates of STDs or lower rates of abortion or single motherhood. No linkage whatsoever that can be shown. Kids who tend to get pregnant out of wedlock are not doing so because they were not taught something at school. They are doing so because they have seen that behavior modeled other places in many cases. But just because your teacher says something doesn't mean you're going to listen to them. I went to public school. I remember that they gave us a health class that was sex ed. And my parents didn't agree with the morality of the sex ed that was being taught. And they opted me out because they wished to teach me the traditional biblical morality about sex, namely that sex belongs within marriage. But according to the state of California, instead, it's not just information about how sex works. I mean, that's basic biology. They want to teach a certain level of sexual propaganda. So, for example, they want to teach people from kindergarten through third grade gender identity. Now, gender identity is a supremely controversial concept in and of itself. It's quite controversial to suggest that men can be women, women can be men, and that gender is separate from sex. That is not scientifically evidenced properly. And yet, the state of California wants to cram that down on students. They want to teach this in public school to students. Grades 4 through 6, the sex ed would include sexual feelings, including masturbation, for fourth graders. Now, kids in fourth grade are like 10 years old. And you're teaching them about sexual feelings and masturbation in a co-ed classroom. Grades 7 through 8, consent and sexual abuse. Grades 9 through 12, contraception and healthy sexual relationships, including advice for LGBTQ students. So that would be the state of California greenlighting any sort of sexual activity that people want to have, and then providing you the resources with which to engage in that sexual activity. The framework is meant to assist educators in complying with the California Healthy Youth Act, which went into effect in 2016. That requires schools to provide comprehensive sex ed to students in grades 7 through 12. And HIV prevention education at least once in middle school and once in high school. The law defines comprehensive sex ed as education regarding human development and sexuality, including education on pregnancy, contraception, and sexually transmitted infections. The reality is that if all sex ed were was, here's how sex works, also you should use contraception because otherwise you might get pregnant or an STD. Wouldn't be in favor of that being taught in schools because I don't see what the morality has to do with the school teaching. But at least that's arguable, but that's not actually what they're teaching. When they've broadened it out to include education regarding human development and sexuality, those are matters of private morality. Now, it's funny. Folks on the left will say things about separation of church and state. They'll say that we need to keep God out of the schools. No prayer in the public schools, but we will teach your second grader that he can be a girl. This is a religion. When it is not backed by fact, it is a religion. Okay, well, if, by the left's definition of religion, that which you believe but is not sufficiently backed by fact is a religious belief. If that is the case, it is a religious belief that men and women can be magically transformed into one another. And it is a moral belief that is not based on evidence so much as it is on differing values that suggests that all sexual activity is equivalent. And yet that is what is now being recommended to be taught at California schools. California was among the first states to require that LGBTQ issues be part of instruction. Activists from that community praised the board for its attention to those issues. There's a shocker. California school systems can select their own curricula and instructional materials as long as they meet state guidelines, which say that all lessons must be age-appropriate, medically accurate and objective, and appropriate for use with students of all races, genders, sexual orientations, and ethnic and cultural backgrounds. But they must affirmatively recognize different sexual orientation and be inclusive of same-sex relationships in discussions. That is a moral judgment being made by the state of California and then crammed down on all school children. They must teach about gender, gender expression, gender identity, and the harm of negative gender stereotypes. And then finally, you know, just as an add-on, they're supposed to teach about the value of committed relationships, such as marriage. Like, that's kind of an add-on. Tony Thurman is the state's newly elected education secretary. He said teachers will have to undergo training to learn how to present the material in class. I have never seen a program more designed to get parents to pull their kids from school than this one. I've never seen anything quite like that. Pretty impressive. Definitely a fan.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship, Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The Pentagon says that the U.S. will move a Patriot missile battery into the Middle East region to counter threats from Iran. The department provided no details, but a defense official says the move comes after intelligence showed that the Iranians have loaded military equipment and missiles on the small boats. Military affairs analyst, U.S. Army retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, observes that this deployment would reinforce existing Patriot batteries throughout the region.
Additional batteries are intended just in case the Iranians decide that they want to lob some things at, you know, some of our key allies in that area, whether it be our facilities in Kuwait or in Bahrain or even in Saudi Arabia or in Iraq, which is quite possible. And so, you know, it's just precautionary, much like we work with the Israelis.
The House Ways and Means Committee has issued a subpoena for 6 years' worth of the president's tax returns.
The subpoena comes just days after Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin refused to turn over the returns, saying that the request lacks a legitimate legislative purpose. Committee Chairman Richard Neal gave Mnuchin and IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig until next Friday to submit the returns. Some legal experts say that Neal could have gone straight to court to get the returns, but instead issued the subpoena to help bolster the court case.
That is Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. With the Trump administration more than doubling tariffs on billions of dollars of Chinese imports, will Americans soon see higher prices on store shelves? Yes, but it'll likely take a few weeks. The latest round of tariff hikes will hit a range of consumer goods, including furniture, luggage, and seafood, as well as steel, lumber, and other building materials. But the biggest categories of imports from China, clothes, shoes, toys, electronics, and the iPhone remain exempt. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
Oh, my gut. We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine. But thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
So what's the dream team for Democrats hoping to beat President Trump in 2020? Republicans have some suggestions. Here's correspondent Rita Foley.
At a gathering of Republicans in Las Vegas, two of President Trump's 2016 campaign members say the Democrat who would present the toughest challenge for him in 2020 is Joe Biden, though they disagree on whether he can win the party's nomination. Former Trump campaign advisor David Bossi thinks he can. But President Trump's old campaign manager, Corey Lewandowski, predicts Bernie Sanders will win the nomination. What would the Democrats' dream team be? Former Republican Congressman Daryl Issa of California suggests Bernie Sanders and Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. I'm Rita Foley.
Both Sanders and Harris are contenders for the Democratic presidential nomination. News and analysis at townhall.com. The top baby names for last year are out.
Social Security has released its annual list of top baby names. Liam was the most popular for boys for the second straight year. And for the fifth consecutive year, Emma was tops for girls. Meghan, as in Meghan and Markle, was the fastest growing girl's name for 2018. The American actress married Britain's Prince Harry last year. And look for their son Archie's name to be right up there when the results are released next year. Shelley Adler, Washington.
Music, bells, and cannon fire rang out Friday at a remote spot in the Utah desert where the final spikes of the Transcontinental Railroad were hammered 150 years ago, uniting a nation long separated by vast expanses of desert, mountains, and forest. An estimated 20,000 people swarmed to the celebration at Golden Spike National Historic Park northwest of Salt Lake City. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, joining us on the line is Scott Linscombe. He's an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute, an international trade attorney with extensive experience in trade litigation. He's on the show to talk about the impending trade war, apparently, between the United States and China. Scott, thanks so much for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thanks for having me.
So, let's start from the beginning here. What exactly is the trade controversy that is leading to both sides now apparently raising tariffs on each other?
Yeah, so this actually started over a year ago when the United States initiated an investigation of Chinese intellectual property practices under Section 301 of U.S. trade law. United States then issued a big report with the findings of its investigation, basically finding what everybody knew already, that the Chinese government had, you know, infringed on various intellectual property rights practices and in particularly related to forcing American companies to transfer various technologies to their Chinese competitors as a condition of investment there. So that resulted in the imposition of tariffs on imports from China. And it started out pretty small, $25 billion, but then of course China retaliated immediately. So the United States went back and hit another $25 billion in Chinese imports, and then China retaliated immediately. Then President Trump upped the ante with 10% tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. China again retaliated as much as they could because they import less from the United States. And then those 10% tariffs were scheduled to increase to 25% in January, but those were suspended due to ongoing negotiations. Those negotiations have taken a turn for the worse, and then as of midnight last night, the tariffs, the U.S. tariffs went up to 25% on that $200 billion worth of Chinese imports.
So, Scott,
China has vowed to retaliate, and they really haven't said how they're going to do it, and that's where we are.
So, Scott, I've been pointing out that there seem to be two positions inside the Trump administration with regard to tariffs. Position number one seems to be the president's position himself. He, for some odd reason, likes tariffs. He thinks that they enrich Americans, which I'll have you explain why that is untrue in a minute. And then the second position seems to be the tariffs are leverage position, the Larry Kudlow position that says, okay, well, look, China is defrauding us when it comes to intellectual property. China is cheating us according to the rules of the WTO. We don't have the capacity to do anything about it except raise tariffs. if that is the position, if the Kudlow position is the correct position, if that's the accurate position of the Trump administration, is there something wrong with using tariffs as a point of leverage?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things that are wrong with it. I mean, first, if you look at the history of the United States using tariffs, particularly through Section 301, as a way to force other governments to do what we want, it's actually proven to be pretty ineffective. Under 20% of the time, according to the academic literature, do our tariff threats work? And that, of course, makes sense. You know, these foreign governments have their own domestic political considerations to consider. And when you hit them over the head with a direct frontal assault, like a broad tariff, there's a chance you're going to actually engender a worse reaction. In other words, you'll entrench opposition instead of getting them to fold. And that seems to be what's happened in the past. And look, we're a year into this tariff mess, and the Chinese haven't folded yet. So it could be happening again. But the other issue is that we have more effective ways, and again, looking at the history of this, than using tariffs, which again are a tax on American consumers. They're paid by American importers. And they're essentially, you know, like holding a gun up to your own head, like the old Blazing Saddles movie. And so if you look at the other ways that actually have proven effective, whether it be unilateral sanctions on specific bad actors, bad companies, bad individuals, and so forth, or the use of the WTO, like you mentioned, the United States is actually very successful in using the WTO to get China and other countries to change their practices. Now, look, this is boring and it takes a little while, but it actually works. And it avoids that kind of full frontal assault that can paint another government, like the Chinese government, into a corner where they can't be shown to be weak in the face of American aggression or whatever you want to call it. And then finally, there are ways to use free trade agreements like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was specifically designed to kind of surround China and provide some of our allies in the region, like Japan and Vietnam, with an alternative to kind of falling into the Chinese sphere of influence, which, of course, the United States withdrew from the TPP on Trump's first day in office. So there are alternatives, and unfortunately, we're not pursuing them.
Okay, so in your opinion, then, it sounds like what's happening here is that President Trump likes tariffs, and then the rest of his administration is backfilling a rationale or attempting to contain that like of tariffs by positing it as some sort of leverage point, as opposed to what's really going on, which is that we've left a lot of different measures on the table and we're using tariffs because Trump happens to like tariffs. Is that sort of your impression of the situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good summary of things. And look, you know, there is this kind of strategic trade theory, it's called, which is where you can use tariffs strategically to encourage market access in foreign countries. The problem is that strategic trade theory is just that. It's a theory, and there are a lot of rules to applying it. And again, the history shows that we're just not very good at it. You know, one of the reasons we're not very good at it, because we're a democracy with elections every 2 or 4 years. And, you know, tariffs, again, hurt our own economy. There are a lot of domestic importing companies and manufacturers that rely on imported inputs that are going to start squealing about this. And then, of course, there's the retaliation that comes. You know, American farmers are getting hit, and that's why President Trump today promised more subsidies for American farmers. So that type of political pain makes strategic trade theory in practice pretty darn difficult to pull off.
So, Scott, looking forward to what happens now with the tariffs kicking, we're talking with Scott Linscombe, adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute and trade expert. With a trade war on the horizon, I know people don't tend to pay too much attention to all of this, but what should people expect to see in their own lives, in their own pocketbooks, in the American economy?
Yeah, and I mean, so, you know, what we've seen so far is price increases for products, consumer products that have tariffs applied to them. You know, a really good example is last year President Trump put tariffs on washing machines, and we saw the price of washing machines go up, 10% for washers, 10% for dryers. And we'd expect similar things where China produces the bulk of those products. A good example is bicycles. So there's now a 25% tariff on bicycles, and China makes the vast majority of bicycles in the world. So for those of you out there who wanted to buy your kid a bike for his or her birthday or for Christmas coming up, you're going to end up paying more. because American importers are going to pay that tariff, and very likely they're going to pass it on to American consumers. And from there, the other way that this could hurt is in a bit more hidden, and that is that, you know, American companies that are buying products, whether, you know, industrial inputs, things they use to make other things, they might not pass those costs on to consumers, and instead they might eat them, and well, that's going to result in less investment, less hiring, less innovation, that type of stuff. So, you know, that's kind of the hidden costs that won't be as obvious.
Now, is there an argument, Scott, that is more generalized with regard to China, which is that they're not just an adversary in many ways economically. They are an adversary in terms of their foreign policy, obviously. They've been very aggressive in the South China Sea. They're building up their military in extraordinary ways. Is there a security argument, not an economic argument? Because I'm a free trader. I agree with you that tariffs are invariably bad for the country that actually places them. But is there a security argument that says, listen, if America has to take a little bit of damage in order to damage Chinese ambitions, then we ought to do it? Is that something worth considering?
Well, sure. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, even hardcore free traders like Milton Friedman have said there's a national security exception to kind of free trade dogma, right? But there's two issues there. And the first is that, you know, we really should apply the same type of skepticism to that type of economic interventionism, so tariffs, that we apply to any other sort of government intervention in the economy. So, you know, that really requires a high burden of proof. And one that, you know, perhaps, or I'm not quite sure that the U.S. government has met, particularly when it comes to imposing, you know, billions and billions of dollars of tariffs on American consumers. But the other issue is, you know, really, is isolation the best foreign policy, particularly economic isolation? I mean, if you look around the world at attempts of American economic isolation, I mean, look down in Cuba for example, it really hasn't achieved the primary goal of regime change in the area. And that's particularly true when the United States acts unilaterally, which we are doing here. If you have multilateral sanctions regime in foreign policy, that tends to work pretty well. But when you do it unilaterally, it is quite difficult to actually achieve your foreign policy aims. And so, you know, a combination of isolating the two countries, and, you know, there's that old saying that countries that trade together, you know, don't go to war against each other. But beyond that, whether there's an efficacy issue, I mean, is it actually effective to do this on our own? And that's unfortunately what we're doing.
Well, Scott Linscombe, thanks so much for joining the program. I really appreciate your time. He's an adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute, and you can follow him on Twitter as well. Scott, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, coming up in just a second, we'll talk about what the stock market is doing as tariffs begin to kick in. But first, let's talk about that timeshare that you bought on vacation a couple of years back. I know, you went to Hawaii. I've been through this, guys. You went to Hawaii, and they said, you get a cheap luau if you go to this timeshare presentation. You figure, sure, why not? No way they'll sell me. And then they sell you. And you end up with a timeshare. You walk out of there with the bell ringing in your ear, everybody's super happy. And then later you realize that you just bought a week interval for an average cost of 20 grand with an interest rate of 17.9% plus a $1,000 a year maintenance fee. And you say to yourself, wow, that was a mistake. So you say, well, you know, maybe I'll get rid of this. Maybe I'll sell this thing. So you go to list it, and it turns out there are hundreds of them listed for a dollar right now with no buyers. Friends, this stuff is nonsense. That's why my friend Brandon Reed and Timeshare Exit Team are fighting back. They've created the Coalition to Reform Timeshare. If you have a timeshare horror story, post it online, tag it #ReformTimeshare, because folks do need to know the truth. And if you just need out, you know what to do. TimeshareExitTeam.com. That's TimeshareExitTeam.com. Go check them out right now. Also, a lot of folks in the timeshare industry looking for special legislative protections. That's why Brandon and Timeshare Exit Team have created the Coalition to Reform Timeshare. Go check them out right now at TimeshareExitTeam.com. That is TimeshareExitTeam.com. Okay, so the stock market today, obviously having problems. There was, the big dump happened yesterday as it appeared that all of this was going to go down. According to CNBC, stocks rebounded from steep losses on Friday on the hope that there's still time to strike a trade agreement with China even after new tariffs were enacted just after midnight. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell about 50 points on Friday, making it almost all the way back from a 358-point loss earlier in the session. In other words, there's a lot of optimism that the Trump administration will somehow pull the chestnuts out of the fire here or that the Chinese will cave. That would be a big win for President Trump. In that case, the fact that he sort of likes tariffs, that would actually lead to the Chinese crumbling in terms of their own intransigence. That could be, theoretically, a strategic play here for the president whatever it is, the stock market bottom line does not like tariffs and does not like trade wars. Okay, in just a second, you're actually going to be joined by my business partner, Jeremy Boring. I got to go do a family event. But first, let's talk about life insurance. So, I know that you haven't thought about life insurance because it's kind of depressing to talk about. I mean, you're talking about how you're going to plot and what happens after you die and who's going to pay for your family. I mean, that is depressing stuff. But no need for it to be depressing. Just get the life insurance and never think about it again. That's where Policy Genius comes in. Policy Genius is the easy way to buy life insurance online. In just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers and find your best price. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. No commissions, no hidden fees, just financial protection and peace of mind, no strings attached. Policy Genius doesn't just simplify life insurance, they also make it easy to compare and buy home insurance or auto insurance or disability insurance. So the next time you stop to smell the roses, pull out your phone, head over to policygenius.com. In just a couple of minutes, you can take care of this thing and never have to think about it again, and you can get your other insurance done too, that home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance. They're comparing all the quotes from the top insurers, so you're getting the best price. Go check them out right now at policygenius.com. Again, that is policygenius.com. Be an adult. Make sure that your family is in decent shape if, God forbid, something should happen to you. Policygenius.com. And coming up, you'll be joined by my business partner, Jeremy Boring, who I'm sure has many things to say about the Russia investigation and James Comey and the gun control push on the part of the media in 2020. Jeremy will be stopping by in just a little while. For me, you guys have a great weekend. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com. Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to WaveCleanWater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE. 1-888-973-WAVE. Or go to WaveCleanWater.com. That's WaveCleanWater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
All right. right, we're back at the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Ben's business partner and friend, Jeremy Boring, sitting in for Ben, who had to race out to a family event. Yes, it's true. Ben Shapiro has family and loves them very much. He's all the way human for anyone who thought that maybe he was some sort of robotic machine which possesses all the knowledge of the universe. He's that, only as a person. We're talking about Donald Trump's trade war with China and what it means for you as a consumer, you as an individual American, what it means for Wall Street, and what it means long-term for the economic health of the country. And the real question I think that is on the mind of most analysts right now is, does Donald Trump himself believe in tariffs as a matter of sound economic policy, or is he using tariffs as a point of leverage in his negotiations with China, looking for what we might call a more fair version of free trade? It's worth noting, of course, that while free trade is sort of the Republican position du jour, it has not always been so. As our own Michael Knowles likes to point out, the Republican Party was founded with a very strong tariff policy. The first Republican president, Lincoln, was a big proponent of tariffs, as have been many Republican presidents until really fairly modern, until the fairly modern age. And of course, we understand the reason. On paper, tariffs appear to be very fair. If a trade partner is going to put a tariff on your goods, why should you not put a tariff on their goods? If they're going to make it more difficult for you to sell products in their country, why shouldn't you make it equally costly for them to sell their products in your country? Really, Republicanism in the later half of the 20th century began to become suspicious of that view. While it seems very clear on paper, in practice it doesn't always work that way. The reason is because lowering the price of consumer goods is a way of increasing the economic health of individual Americans and their families. If we, the logic goes, really embrace a free trade agenda, if we allow other people even to cheat, as China absolutely does, we should be clear, the president is completely right that China does not play fair. They tax our goods as we try to sell them into their country, but they expect us not to tax their goods as they sell them here. Nevertheless, even though that is obviously unfair, it is still redounded to the great benefit of the American economy, allowing companies like Apple famously to become the first trillion-dollar company ever by selling iPhones that they could not produce, not only could not produce as inexpensively without being able to produce them, manufacture them in China, but may not be able to produce at all in America. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, very famously said late in his life that if he had to compete with American policy, we're mostly talking about environmental policy, it makes it so difficult to build factories, makes it so difficult to create products because of the overreach of the EPA and state environmental regulations. We may have never gotten past iPhone 1, meaning, you know, we have whatever it is, 10X now or XX or I don't know my iPhones. They're great. You know, they actually basically read your mind now and make your calls for you. That would not be the case if we weren't able to import at a low rate and do our manufacturing in China. As the price of those kinds of goods go down, the actual purchase power of the American dollar goes up. You can actually buy more with your money. That's been, as I say, sort of modern Republican orthodoxy. And I personally think that it is still Republican orthodoxy. One of the things we have to keep in mind about Donald Trump, he prides himself on being a tough negotiator. I see these tariffs, by and large, as a way of the president basically penalizing China for not also playing fair. I don't think that the president's agenda is to get to robust tariffs. I think he's leveraging robust tariffs to get to a zero tariff, or if not zero, a low tariff policy that still allows us to have the kind of spending power that we have. Not everyone agrees, and it's difficult to tell because in his rhetoric, the president is very pro-tariffs. He says these tariffs will make our economy much stronger, believe me, in a tweet today. The president has been in a tweet storm about the tariffs, actually tweeting about the trade war with China, then deleting tweets, then tweeting again slightly modified versions of the same, saying that we don't need to be in a hurry, that we can take our time, basically playing from a position of strength. Again, I think that if you put it in the context of what we know about Donald Trump, if you put it in the context of the art of the deal, it seems clear to me that while the president may have more of an affinity for tariffs philosophically than the average Republican, I think he nevertheless wants to keep American spending power and American economic growth
growing. It's one of the great accomplishments of his presidency that we have such a powerful economy right now. I don't think he wants to go into 2020 with a worse economy than he has today. Nevertheless, it's a brave move to try to get China to play fair. If they don't play fair, the president would like to see them play fair. The American economy would like to see them play fair. In the meantime, though, Wall Street dislikes this entire idea. Wall Street grows when trade is free. Wall Street grows when trade is easy. And the stock market, there are many people warning that the stock market could actually go into correction territory. That's where it goes off by more than 10% because of all this tariff talk. It's going to be interesting to see. I think the best thing anyone can do economically is actually be patient. You know, you don't want to be reactionary in moments like this, especially when we don't really know the motives of the president exactly. Is he doing this because he favors the policy, or is he doing it as a tactic to try to get us back to a more fair version of free trade? Coming up, we're going to talk about gun control, the new favorite issue that isn't all that new of Democrats in Congress. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR 1460.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College. More possibilities.
Riverfront Playhouse answers the question you didn't know you wanted to ask. What if the entire works of Shakespeare was summed up by the Three Stooges? Be prepared to laugh your artsy self silly as Tyler, Isaac, and Keith condense everything the Bard ever wrote into one 97-minute show. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, written by Long, Singer, and Winfield, directed by Jen Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, May 18th through June 15th.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
This is where we are right now. This is where we are. So, in the words of, well, it's not exactly the words, but cleaner, we either have to poop or get off the pot. Because this is no longer acceptable. And we've seen it take the lives of little tiny kids, and we've seen it take the lives of 18-year-olds. And at some point, we're going to have to figure this out. Or we're going to have a whole bunch of kids who are moving this way because they don't want to be shot. And that should never be what you think about at school.
Whoopi Goldberg on The View talking about the recent shootings at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte and a week later, a pair of shooters involved in a shooting at the STEM school Highlands Ranch in Colorado. And, of course, Whoopi's right. We students in a school should not have to be living in fear of their lives. That's not what we want young people contemplating as they're pursuing their education. And she's also right that we have to use her words, poop or get off the pot. Something is wrong in our society. The question, of course, is what is the thing that's wrong and what are the solutions? I'm Jeremy Boring. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show. And really, these tragedies that are taking place on campuses across the country obviously have been going on now for almost 20 years, starting famously, at least if not actually starting in sort of our popular consciousness with the events at Columbine. Here's Chris Cuomo talking about just that.
These conversations, how many have you heard? How many families like that? We're going to have an argument for you tonight that shouldn't have to be made 20 years after Columbine, and we all know it, but we've got to face the reality. That's what these moments call for, if nothing else. Can't run. You've got to be like Riley. You've got to be like Kendrick. You've got to run at the problem.
Cuomo talking about Riley and Kendrick, two heroes of the most recent two shooting instances, who charged their attackers so that other people might live. Both unfortunately died of wounds that they suffered. The Washington Post actually writing about this phenomenon today, Elizabeth Brunning saying that it's unfortunate that not only are these kids heroes, but in her words, they are martyrs because they die, and I guess nothing is done, because in her view, they die, and Congress does not pass some sort of comprehensive gun control. Of course, there is fairly comprehensive gun control. That's the part that's always left out of these conversations. There are many, many laws on the books that would ostensibly prevent these sorts of things, including the law not to murder, and yet these things happen time and time again, and have, again, in the popular imagination anyway, even since Columbine. I actually want to challenge that briefly and just say Columbine is one of the most misunderstood events that's happened in modern memory. The Columbine shooting is unique among the other shootings that have sort of followed in its wake, in that it was not motivated as a school shooting. The shooters at Columbine wanted to be the biggest mass murderers in American history. They actually scoped out other targets before landing on the school. In fact, they thought that they would carry out their attack on a hospital. But after they cased the hospital, they realized that there was armed security at the hospital and that they would have an easier time inflicting a maximum number of casualties if they instead attacked their high school. Even at that, it wasn't intended to be a school shooting in the way that we think of it. They actually placed bombs throughout the cafeteria of the school, as well as in the parking lot where they thought that they could kill the first responders, and in their bedrooms where they thought that they could kill investigators. They never intended to enter the school. They thought that they would sit outside the school, detonate the bomb in the cafeteria, kill several hundred students, and then snipe the survivors as they ran out of the building. But when their bombs didn't go off, they decided to go into the school and detonate themselves, and that's how the shooting started. All this talk about how it was because they were bullied by other kids and that it was about revenge or some sort of weird vigilante justice, it was just a false media narrative. What they wanted to be was mass murderers. They picked the school because it was a soft target, because it was not defended by good guys with guns. Of course, that doesn't fit the left's narrative, and so they always leave it out. But let's talk about these young men who were heroes and answer the question, are they martyrs? Are they dying because we're not passing reasonable gun legislation? I might agree. I just disagree about what is reasonable gun legislation. I'm not one who thinks that the Second Amendment means that there can be no regulations on the sale, dissemination, or use of firearms. I don't think anyone is. I think we all agree, for example, minors should not be able to purchase firearms. Not that they shouldn't be able to use them under supervision of adults, especially in hunting culture or learning about self-defense, but they shouldn't be able to purchase them. I think we all, you know, I'm one who does not believe in open carry. That's not always popular with especially some of my Texas relatives. But the problem that I see with open carry as opposed to concealed carry, the beauty of concealed carry is it provides a deterrent even when there is no one armed in a public venue, because with concealed carry, you don't know who is and who isn't armed. And so you proceed, you would have to proceed from the assumption that there may be someone who is armed, even if there's not. With open carry, a person wishing to inflict mass casualties knows exactly who to shoot first, the person who is openly carrying a weapon. It doesn't have the same deterrent effect as concealed carry. So there, of course, there's a range of other reasonable gun laws that we could talk about. Even background checks within reason, when they're highly limited in terms of the scope of what the government can use as a criteria to prevent the purchase of a handgun, I think are very reasonable. And I think, while not everyone agrees, most people would agree that some form of background checks are reasonable. But where do we need more gun laws? Where do we need changes in our gun policy? Well, obviously on the left, the idea is that guns should be made almost wholly inaccessible to people who obey the law. To me, that turns even places like the hospital that wasn't attacked by the Columbine shooters into prime targets for people who want to inflict mass casualties. They know that those targets are not well defended. You see this in the United Kingdom. In America, the majority of home invasions, robberies, take place while no one is home. In the United Kingdom, it's precisely the opposite. The majority of robbers rob your house when you are home in the United Kingdom. Why? Well, because in the United Kingdom, as in America, things like televisions aren't actually what gets stolen in the average burglary. Televisions are very hard to run down the street, you know, with like a 65-inch Samsung under your arm. You're probably going to get caught. What people are looking for when they rob a home is loose but highly valuable things. They're looking for cash. They're looking for jewelry. And most of us keep our cash on our person. We keep our jewelry on our person. So when you rob a home, the ideal time to do it is when the cash and the jewelry, the things that you can easily grab and abscond with, you want those to be present. The problem is, in America, people also have guns on their person. And so you see this great deterrent effect. We don't get robbed when we're at home, by and large, which means also when people do rob your home when you're there, they do violence to you. This is how people get hurt. That doesn't happen, by and large, in America because we are armed. There's still home burglaries in the UK. They're just more dangerous. They happen when you're home. So we see that this is the problem with racing to pass new law when you're trying to solve a problem. There are unintended consequences of every law that you pass. Laws that are passed to make people more safe often put people in more, albeit different, dangerous situations. So taking guns away from the law-abiding does not create a deterrent for crime. It creates a deterrent for defense against crime. That's where the left is wrong. The kinds of laws that we need, in my view, in this country, are laws that make it easier to secure these sorts of targets, places where you can do mass damage. We need laws that allow teachers to carry. And people will roll their eyes at this. They'll say, you think it's the teacher's job to protect students? Yes, of course it's the teacher's job to protect students. As a parent, you place your child in the care of their teachers. But of course, I'm not saying that a teacher should be required to be armed. I'm saying that as a free citizen, a teacher should have the same rights to protect themselves and others that should be afforded to every citizen. I also think that there's a very reasonable argument to be had as to whether public institutions should have funding to have armed security. Obviously, the government secures the places where they work. Politicians don't go to work in gun-free zones. They go to work in highly defended zones, but they expect you to send your kids into environments where they are literally the prime target. The reason there are so many school shootings in America is because schools are the prime target of people seeking to achieve mass casualties for the very explicit reason that schools are not well defended. They're gun-free zones. You know that the teachers aren't able to defend themselves, and you know that most schools don't have the kind of budget that would be necessary to provide the security for themselves. We're going to talk a little bit more about gun control and why the left's agenda of gun control is so wrong-headed. Rightly motivated, I'm willing to grant most of them, not all of them, most of them, but wrong-headed and results in more casualties. But first, Ben is here to talk to us about Helix Sleep. Ben?
There's nobody on the planet like you, so why would you buy a generic mattress built for everyone else? Helix Sleep built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or a firm bed, with Helix, there's no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split that mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They've got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That's helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. I love my Helix Sleep mattress. My wife and I took that 2-minute sleep quiz. They personalized the mattress just for us. It is fantastic. Go check them out right now at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. helixsleep.com/Shapiro for the 10-year warranty. Get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free, up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro.
All right, thanks, Ben. So we're still talking about gun control and the left's obsession with it. And again, for the purpose of this conversation, I am willing to grant that the majority of people who vote with the Democrats, the majority of people calling for gun control in the country, are well-intentioned. Not all of them. There are certainly activists whose actual goal is to weaken the American public as part of a broader political agenda. But I think that it's mean-spirited, and I think that it's narrow-minded, and I think that it's hysterical rhetoric for us on the right to assume that the majority of people who want gun control are motivated by that. On the contrary, they're motivated by the same thing that motivates all of us. We want to see less people being killed, less children being killed. We want to see less young people having to step up and be heroes, like the two young men over the last few weeks, both in North Carolina and Colorado, Riley Howell and Kendrick Castillo. Listen, we should celebrate the names of these young men for what they did. We should also acknowledge that children should not have to be in situations to do that. The question is, what puts them in the situation? Well, the thing that primarily puts them in this situation is that they attend soft targets. They attend places where, by law, because of the overreach of well-intentioned, primarily Democrats, in trying to limit the availability of guns in these environments, they've actually created a prime target for people who are not going to follow law, people whose actual agenda is circumvention and violation of the law, even fundamental laws like thou shalt not murder. And we're talking about what would actually be a better alternative, and the better alternative, of course, is to allow free people to defend themselves. The only way that that's going to be achieved, however, Cuomo's right. We need to have a hard argument. We need to have the argument you're not allowed to have. What he's wrong about is when he says that the argument for gun control is the one that we can't have. That argument is welcome in every public environment, in every public forum in the country. The argument that is not welcome is the argument that free people need more ability to defend themselves, not less. In fact, that's what's being, that argument's playing out in Congress right now. You actually see the disparity between the two sides. One side is allowed to say their point of view in polite society. The other side is not. And we're going to get to a specific example of that. But first, Ben's here to talk to us about AMAC.
Would you pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought tooth and nail for government-run healthcare? You know, an organization that stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners. You wouldn't? Well, then don't join the AARP. Stand with nearly 2 million others by joining AMAC, the conservative alternative, instead. Wouldn't you rather belong to an organization like AMAC that fights for your values, like protecting our borders, supporting small business, defending your individual freedoms? Becoming an AMAC member means standing up for our Constitution and for the innocent unborn. It means standing firm in the fight against socialism. What's more, AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, minus the liberal agenda. Do me a favor, do America a favor, join right now at amac.us. That's amac.us. Tell your friends and family as well. The benefits are great. The cause is even better. No reason you should be helping out the AARP, one of the biggest liberal lobbying organizations in America, under the guise of a seniors benefit organization. Instead, go check out AMAC. Help AMAC fight the good fight by joining today at amac.us. That's amac.us. amac.us. Tell all your friends and your family, amac.us. Go check them out right now.
Thanks, Ben. We're going to be right back with and hear from Congresswoman Jackie Speier, who is attacking the NRA and gun ownership today. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Daily Wire God King. That's lowercase g, lowercase k, Jeremy Boring, Ben's business partner and best buddy. Believe it or not, Ben has buddies. They're me. I'm all of Ben's buddies. We're talking about the horrible events that took place in Charlotte 2 weeks ago and in Colorado more recently, these school shootings that have become, unfortunately, all too familiar to all of us. And the question is, what do we do about them? Here's Congresswoman from California's 14th District, Jackie Speier, talking on CNN.
I mean, it just seems like Congress never does anything on this. Does it come down to students like the Parkland students? I mean, some of these students are high school students. We just heard from one of them. Does it come down to them?
Let's stop right there. Notice how the question itself is framed with such bias. It seems that Congress never does anything. Of course, not doing something is an action on behalf of government. When the government does nothing, that is doing something. It's just not the something that makes people on the left feel good. Here, the assumption is that the only corrective to the school shootings is gun control. This from a allegedly objective news source, CNN. Even the framing of the question is biased against one entire philosophy as to what the solution might be. But let's continue and hear from Congresswoman Spire.
Heard from one of them. Does it come down to them having to, they shouldn't, but does it come down to them being the face of this?
Well, they are the face of it right now because we have a lot of gutless wonders in Congress that aren't willing to stand up to the NRA, which frankly has become a shadow of its former self, and people should wake up to that. I'm proud to have an F grade from the NRA, and I wear that pin with great honor.
So here you see the exact nature of the bias. Congresswoman Spire, and it's worth noting Congresswoman Spire herself is a survivor of a horrific shooting, took 5 gunshot wounds as part of the assassination of Leo Ryan, her political mentor, and that's all associated with the Jonestown Massacre, a terrible incident and sort of scar on our nation and the subject of another radio show on another day. But here you hear a politician, a Democrat politician, albeit one who has suffered at the hands of gun violence, giving her talking point, which perfectly mirrors the stance of the objective journalist, so-called, on CNN. They both agree that the problem is that Congress will not take action, they say in contravention of the policy preferences of the NRA, which is a way of sort of blaming an outside moneyed activist group when they're the ones who want to be activists. They're the ones who want to change policy. In this instance, change policy in a way that would directly conflict with the Second Amendment. Some will say that the Second Amendment does not grant an individual right to bear arms. Even if that's your view, it has always been the case in the spirit of the Second Amendment. I think your view is wrong. It has always been the case that the spirit of the Second Amendment, at a minimum, and I would argue the letter of the Second Amendment, has afforded Americans the individual right to bear arms for the entire history of the United States of America. So it seems like hair splitting to me to suggest otherwise on the basis of the exact wording of the Second Amendment, which, again, I actually think the Second Amendment's actual wording holds up to individual gun ownership. Nevertheless, you see the bias on plain display. Both the media and the political left believe that the only appropriate action in the face of this horrific gun violence is to limit the rights of law-abiding gun owners. No one is having a conversation about how do we actually make our culture more safe. How do we actually increase the ability of Americans to provide for their own defense and the defense of others, in particular, children in particular, when they're gathered together in these sorts of prime targets for the horrible people who commit these kinds of atrocities, that soft targets like schools where guns are not lawful. There's one other aspect, of course, that they never talk about, which is how do we get back to having some sort of cultural cohesion in our nation? How do we do something to tone down this us versus them sort of rhetoric that has us all constantly acting in a state of rage? Now, we all act in a state of rage, and for the vast majority of us, that does not result in us actually committing acts of violence or hate. But the problem with this, us versus them, you're with us or against us, complete polarization, is it takes people at the very fringe and pushes them out of the mainstream to where they become loners, they become completely insulated, they're not able to pursue various ideas within the mainstream and then be led to better answers to the kinds of questions that they ask. They're instead forced into the darkest parts of the internet, the darkest parts of literature, the darkest parts of history to hear from only the worst people and to sort of fester in their hatred. And unfortunately, that's not responsible for them committing their horrible acts of violence, but it does create a sort of incubator in which they're able to become so radicalized that they would. We need to address the rights of Americans to defend themselves, and we need to address our cultural cohesion, the very idea of a common culture, if we ever want to get back to the kind of nation that we once had, where people were more free, it was easier to acquire handguns, and there were fewer of these horrific mass shootings than there are today. All right, I'm going to tell you about the worst news story of the day, and I'm going to take a couple of questions off Twitter, because that's the way I roll, at Jeremy D. Boring. If you want to ask me a quick question, I'll be happy to make up an answer that Ben will have to apologize for later. But first, I want to tell you the worst news that I have read in quite some time. This from The Guardian. Penis extensions don't work, study finds. According to the article, procedures carry high risk of complications and, quote, should almost never be carried out. This is proof that not only does the left hate men, but God in reality hate men also. And by men, I, of course, mostly mean this man. Let's take some questions. All right.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Trade talks between the U.S. and China have broken up with no agreement hours after President Donald Trump more than doubled tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports. The president asserted on Twitter that there was no need to rush to get a deal between the world's two biggest economies. Later added that the tariffs may or may not be removed depending on what happens with respect to future negotiations. Republicans and Democrats battling for the rhetorical high ground in the debate over health care. Here's Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew.
The video on Bernie Sanders' Facebook campaign page puts it simply enough.
Health care costs are out of control.
But Republican John Thune says that's no reason to turn health care over to what he calls the mother of bureaucracy.
The federal government.
As for the real cost of Sanders' proposed Medicare for All.
One of our former colleagues, Tom Colburn, used to say, if you think health care is expensive now, wait till it's free.
Thune says Republicans are working on a number of more moderate fixes to the rising cost of health care. Bob Agnew reporting.
Amazon's agreed to make sure that school supplies and children's jewelry sold on its website are safe.
Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson said an investigation found dozens of items that tested above legal levels for lead or cadmium. Some pencil pouches had parts containing 80 times the legal limit for lead and about 30 times the limit for cadmium. Amazon has notified customers around the country and issued more than $200,000 in refunds. Amazon said it will require sellers of school supplies and children's jewelry to submit lab results, certifying that those products are safe. John Scott reporting.
It was a big second half for Stephen Curry. He scored all of his 33 points in the second half. Thus, the Golden State Warriors overcame Kevin Durant's absence to finish off Houston in six games, beating the Rockets 118-113 on Friday night to advance to the Western Conference Finals. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Hey guys, it's Scott Bauer here, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy. Are you looking for a super hot stock tip? Here at Prosper, we are always looking for exciting opportunities in the markets. And right now, all my students are salivating over the stock we are watching. In fact, I've got this hot stock written down right here, and I'm about to text it to you for free. I just need to know where to send it. Simply text HOT to 48542, and I'll text it to you instantly. How do I know this stock is so hot? Well, I'm a former CBOE market maker for Amazon Options, former vice president of Goldman Sachs, and I have over 25 years of professional trading experience. I'm telling you, this stock is hot. But be warned, the stock may move soon, so you need to claim it before it does. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Text HOT to 48542, and I'll text you this hot stock instantly. Message and data rates may apply.
The arrest of a top opposition leader in Venezuela unleashed fears of a wider crackdown on Thursday, even as members of the opposition issued renewed calls for weekend protest in their campaign to oust President Nicolas Maduro.
All the MPs are on a list of people the country's pro-government Supreme Court once prosecuted for treason. The court had ordered their parliamentary immunity removed so that they can face the charges. The Assembly's Vice President, Edgar Zambrano, has already been arrested in what Juan Guaido has described as a political coup against a democratically elected parliament.
That's the BBC's Candice Viet reporting. Guaido portrayed the arrest of Zambrano and the targeting of members of the Assembly as acts of desperation by a government whose leaders don't know who to trust. U.S.-backed opposition leader also announced new nationwide protests on Saturday. News and analysis at townhall.com. A children's version of Alexa will remember everything a child speaks to it.
Consumer advocates say a kid's version of Amazon's Alexa won't forget what children tell it, even after parents try to delete the conversations. Amazon met with skepticism from some privacy advocates and members of Congress last year when it first introduced its kids-oriented voice assistant and an Echo Dot speaker designed for children. Now, those advocates say they've found privacy flaws and are asking the Federal Trade Commission to investigate. Keith Peters, Washington.
Billionaire Richard Branson is moving Virgin Galactic's winged passenger rocket and more than 100 employees from California to a remote commercial launch and landing facility in southern New Mexico, bringing his space tourism dream a step closer to reality. Branson said at a news conference that Virgin Galactic's development and testing program has advanced enough to make the move to the custom-tailored hangar. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I've looked at clear cuts in burnt forest and I felt outraged, but I didn't scream and I didn't cry. And I need to.
Was that the Scream at the Sky Day? No, it wasn't, was it? It was a completely separate thing. My favorite, I think, was Scream at the Sky Day, where liberals all over America went outside and screamed at the sky because, well, you know, it kind of explains itself, doesn't it? It's a funny world out there, filled with funny people. Some of them are running for president. In fact, about a short busload of them are running for president. One of those little buses? Small bus. Running for president. Happy Friday. And it is a happy Friday. All kinds of things going on. Fun and otherwise. Serious real world things. But it's Friday. Come on. Everybody lighten up just a little bit. Anybody catch James Comey on CNN last night with his pal Manderson Pooper being fluffed? No, I didn't think so. No, I think that I'm going to guess that the ratings were probably even lower than usual for the big Comey town hall. And they really should have been. They deserve to be lower than usual because it was like watching a rerun. It was Manderson was the party's designated T-ball lobber. And Comey just was like shagging flies. It was, anybody know shagging flies? You know, like little league baseball, professional baseball. Let's go out in the outfall and out in the field and kind of knock little lobbing baseballs to you from home plate, and you catch them because it's real easy to. And there were no probing questions. There were no pressing questions. There were no difficult questions. There were no challenging questions. I think the audience, they had a live studio audience, right? And they really didn't even cheer, did they? They just kind of sat there because it was so dull that even the invited CNN audience is probably family members of employees, because who else would show up for something like that? And everybody sat there passively because it was so profoundly dull and uninteresting, and no new ground was broken whatsoever, because no questions were asked that were of any relevance to anyone. Like, hey, you know, this Azra Turk woman, does she work for the CIA or the FBI? Anything like that. How many human intel operatives did you throw at the Trump campaign? Was that in there? No, that wasn't in there. Interestingly enough, that was not in there. And how is it that you lured George Papadopoulos to London, where he met with Stefan Halper, the one that invited him there, and with Azra Turk? Did she work for the CIA, a Brennan CIA, or was she a mole? Is she a U.S. citizen? Was she offering sex to Papadopoulos? You think any of these questions came up? None of these questions came up. And how is it that Papadopoulos was invited to London, where he met with an Australian diplomat who was reporting back to the FBI the content of their conversation, and then you say that's when the investigation started, but it's clear that you invited him through an FBI operative to London before he ever met with the Australian diplomatic official. What is he, an intelligence operative, former ambassador, working for the FBI, feeding information back? Because the timeline doesn't make sense. Do you think Manderson Pooper asked him about that? No, he didn't. You think there was anything about, no, did they have a debate about, well, is spying, does surveillance mean spying? Does spying mean surveillance? They talked about that because that's yesterday's papers, and it's just talking points issued by the Democrat Party. And Anderson Cooper, who used to be in the news business and used to be a pretty smart guy, just teed up the Democrat Party talking points as issued by the DNC one after another, and Comey being Comey just had his little t-ball bat and just kind of chipped him out to the pitcher's mound, and that was it. And there was nothing new. It was all just tired reinforcing the brainwashing of the American populace by the corrupt news media. Anderson Cooper being the designated lobber in this instance. And boy, there was nothing, no fireworks, no news, no nothing, just nothing, absolutely nothing, because they're just fluffers for the Democratic Party, let's be honest. And there was not even an effort at journalism. It was North Korean brainwashing, really. The whole thing should have been in Korean. Then I think the people would have come away with a better understanding of what was going on there. And we've got audio from that. We've got some audio because it's just utterly mockable. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders. there is a match made in heaven, huh? Bernie and AOC sat down together. This is, Mary Walter this morning called them the odd couple of politics, and they really are the odd couple of politics. It's just absurd. They've got a new plan where they're going to order credit card companies to charge no more than 15% in interest, because, as Bernie says, you know, the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah all condemn usury. Now, these are godless, baby-sacrificing atheists. We know that both of them are. But certainly they'll use whatever port in a storm they can find. And if using the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran works for today's political purposes, then they'll trot them out. And, of course, the net result of what they're proposing will be that poor people, people who have difficulty getting credit cards, will now find it impossible to get credit cards. They will not be able to get credit at all. But they've come up with a solution for that, and you'll never guess what the solution is. I'm not making this up. Here's the solution. They're going to force post offices in the United States of America to perform the duties currently performed by banks. Our postal system is now going to become a banking system for people that won't be able to get credit cards because of the law that they're planning on passing. It will never pass because it's insane. It's more pandering. It's completely berserk. But I'm not making this up. They're planning on having post offices become little neighborhood banks for, I guess, to pass bad checks. And so I think that's the plan here. It's remarkable stuff. And I learned today, and I've been following this story, and I hadn't heard this reported anywhere, but the embassy of Venezuela in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, was taken over weeks ago by radical left-wing groups. Has anybody followed this? Because somehow this slipped through my torpedo net, but the people with Code Pink and I think the People's Judean Front or something have taken over the embassy, the Venezuelan embassy, in support of Nicolas Maduro. In support of Maduro, the commie moron who has, along with his forebear, Hugo Chavez, have destroyed the economy and the welfare of the millions of people of Venezuela. They've destroyed Venezuela, once the wealthiest country in all of Latin America. And now you've got these left-wing groups in the United States. They're squatters living in their own filth, no doubt, inside the embassy of Venezuela in Washington, D.C. And they shut the electricity off. The Pepco, we call it, the electric company around here, shut the electricity off. And I think it's Trump's fault, isn't it? I think it's Trump's fault, the electricity. And they're there to support Nicolas Maduro because he's such a great leader and doing such great work for the people of Venezuela. Just extraordinary stuff. But somehow the news media has just, like, that it was occupied. It's been occupied like it's the campus administration building or something like that. They've been occupying, squatting in there. And when I say squatting, I mean literally in the Venezuelan embassy for weeks. And somehow this just, I follow the news pretty closely, I can assure you. And somehow this one got by me. Pretty remarkable stuff. And I've got some details on that because they're humorous in a twisted and demented way. Hollywood is going to start boycotting Georgia on account of they love the baby sacrifice. They love the, you know, set them aside and club their heads until they're, it's remarkable stuff. And William Barr made a little quip yesterday, and this has the media in a tizzy as well, that he set a record for being held in contempt of Congress as an attorney general. And the media is outraged. They're spitting mad over this one, spitting. And it's just the absurdity of what goes on in Washington and New York with Democrats / media is beyond my ability to comprehend. Yet I witness it every day. It's quite extraordinary. Yeah, James Comey, this stuff is just wonderful. And apparently Bernie Sanders is letting African Americans down. He's not pandering to and kissing the ring of the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. How about the Congressional White Caucus? Well, there is no Congressional White Caucus. How about the Congressional Hispanic Caucus? Well, there is that. And how about the Asian Pacific? Well, there is one of those, too. And then there, today they're calling everybody racist because it's a day of the week. And I marvel because the Red Sox, members of the Boston Red Sox, they should be called the Black Sox. I think the Black Sox didn't come. Some of the Hispanic Sox came. Some of the White Sox came. They've got this racial division in the baseball team, the World Series champions, the Boston Red Sox, and the left has created racial division in everything, and absolutely everything. In Congress, you have the Black Caucus, the Hispanic Caucus, the Asian Pacific Caucus, but no White Caucus because that would be racist, as everybody knows. And then African American and Latino players and members of the Boston Red Sox organization, many most, boycotting the White House because, why? Because Trump is racially divisive, you see. It's I don't want to bring race into it again, but it's the pot calling the kettle black. It's just a little bit. It's the chicken or the egg. It's yin and yin and yin. And.